You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
And now, the blackest present for the most brutal of all bass players.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers to not only be talking about what, but celebrating our official fourth anniversary.
That's right. 4 years
public
of Public
Access podcast. And what are we talking about on this anniversary episode, Regan?
Anniversary topics. We're going to call it that now,
sure.
But these are just normal topics. Topic number one, tell us about your worst moment of motion sickness. Yeah. Topic number two, you're 6 years old again. Describe your themed birthday party.
Yeah.
And topic number three, at what age were you the worst person you've ever been?
That's right.
Yeah.
34 is a close second for me, but you'll hear it later. And we are pleased as punch to have on the podcast, not once, not twice, but thrice, Ryan Stout, sir.
Yeah, let's do it.
How
let's
are you?
Four. Yes. 4 years of the apocalypse. We made it. It's coming crumbling to an end now, everybody.
So we're not. You're at the Elbow Comedy Club all week this week, and I'm not going to talk about your set at all. But one thing I am going to say is I didn't know till today that celebrity meant celebrated personality. I felt like such a fucking idiot because obviously
I have those moments in my show where I say things
many
like,
moments.
Oh,
yeah.
She's a celebrity. She is a celebrated personality.
Yeah.
And I will see the audience like, oh,
that wasn't a word.
Why?
Someone made that word
so
up.
That word's a made up word.
Uh-huh.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Paparazzi, made up word. Made up word. It's not a combination of words.
It's just
my words. That's like one from popular right. Rotsa.
Yeah, paparazzi.
But it was just where did that word come from? It was, I think, an Italian film, and there was some character that was like an annoying little character that would buzz around like an annoying little fly, and there was some. I don't know what the Italian word is to describe that,
yeah.
But it got adopted into describing people in the media that circle you and snap pictures and do all that other stuff.
That translated into living room Christmas when you pull out your phone to take a picture and your uncles go, man, paparazzi, you're a paparazzi. Yeah, it's like bling.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even need to be famous to have paparazzi.
No.
You just need to be annoying to be paparazzi.
Exactly.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be a celebrated personality
to have
paparazzi.
Yeah. When you have paparazzi, you think, oh, I must be celebrated. And it's like, no, it has nothing to do with you. They're just annoying.
There's many words that have changed the meaning that, okay, we'll keep going. What were we going
to
say?
Oh, I was trying to remember the first time that we had you on the show. It was kind of, we just asked you randomly.
Yeah, you were in the audience checking out Brian Callen.
Oh, that's right. I was in town.
Yeah.
That's right, Stout.
Hey, do you want to come podcast?
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, let's
so
do that.
A testament to how cool you are. You're just like,
absolutely.
Let's do this. Let's go to a stranger's apartment and cross our fingers and hope
it's
for the best.
It's all going
to
work out. I mean, that's how you do stand-up. People are like, come do this show. And you go, I guess I'm going to do this show in this backyard, and it should be fine. I'm going to go to this methadone clinic. Yeah, I mean, all you have is an address,
right?
And then you
right.
show up and
promise
expect to talk.
Yeah. Maybe to get money, maybe.
Maybe get money.
And sometimes those shows that end up being the scariest environments end up being the best shows.
Yeah.
My buddy got a show put together in a gun store.
It's a regular show now.
Yeah.
Like it's
it's got a following in Austin, and it is owned by a gay, conservative, Jewish black man.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Wait,
holy
he is
shit.
Jewish?
Yeah, he's Jewish,
and he sells bitcoins.
And he sells bitcoins.
The Guns and Giggles show.
By the way,
in Austin.
Everyone in the audience is a gay, black, Jewish Republican as well. It's a very specific audience.
That's the target audience.
Well, here's
and
the
every
thing.
Show sells out.
Like with those shows, I absolutely understand why it's a great show because you've already got like a unified section of people. Like the number of people that you would say Yeah, I would go to a comedy show at a gun store.
Yeah.
Like, whatever that personality type is, gels with the stranger sitting next to them, yes, who also said, yeah, I'll do that.
I'll just run the risk. And the funniest thing about it, BYOB.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
With
yeah.
guns.
Super responsible.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
They'll sell you a gun there, too, if you want one.
Yeah. After a few beers.
And we're not this no podcast. Law against
that. Yeah. There's no law against
no,
that.
No, the Constitution doesn't say I have to be sober to have a gun. No,
damn straight.
Fuck, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Open carry the hell out of a gun.
People love to talk about what the Constitution does say and what it doesn't say. Yeah. No law. There's no law about it, so we could obviously do it.
What? There's no law about machine guns and Segways. Doesn't say anything.
It's almost like, really? The Founding Fathers didn't write down everything. They didn't cover everything ever will be, so obviously there can't be a law about it.
Yeah, I can tell by your YouTube video arguing with a cop. Do you know your shit? So we're normally not this podcast, but I'm just curious, out of the years that you've been doing stand-up all over the world, weirdest place.
I mean, I was going to most surprising place that I've found over the years was AA meetings.
Wow.
Those Al-Anon clubs and stuff like that. Yeah. You know why they're so great? Because those people are very accustomed to sitting and listening.
They're really good at it. They're very good listeners. They pay attention.
You knock it out of the park at every beat.
I did an AA convention for teens. And it was at, you know, a hotel ballroom. All of them were sitting on the floor, so it had to be really clean, and they couldn't talk about drugs. You know, so of course they...
Just pussy.
Yeah, just pure pussy. Just
Wet or dry.
Yeah, no...
Now, either it was minute 14.
It had to be dry.
Wet or dry, you're good. Go ahead. The kids will take it.
It's like a Michelob commercial. But you know what? It was there. And yeah, they were a great
crowd.
It turns
blue when it's the proper temperature. Wait, what?
The comedy or the pussy or the Michelob?
Yeah,
all of it. All of it. AA meetings. Yeah. Have you done an AA teenager? Because that's...
No, never that.
It's just instantly depressing.
I would note that, like I said, unified audiences always make it somewhat easier, but it also changes the expectations of the room a little bit. You know, so when you're talking to all soldiers, kind of expect you to maybe address that somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
To bring it up.
Or some sit there and just hope that you don't bring it up. They just go, I hope we have a normal, regular show.
Don't just treat us normal. Just treat us like...
I have noticed that if I get up in front of all black crowds and I am very white and in a suit, I have to take white and kind of turn it to 11.
Yeah.
Kind of go to 11 on the suit thing.
I've noticed that.
Nothing to do with, you know, trying to fit in. Yeah, No. Be what they expect. Yeah. They go, you're white. Don't bullshit us on this. You're wearing a suit. So I get to act like the oppressor.
And that's what they want.
That's exactly what we think you are.
That is right, businessman.
Years and years and years ago, I was doing a show in Oakland, and I was George Bush was president at the time. This was probably around 2004. And I was on stage in Oakland, and I was like, white people would love to be black. We would love to be black. I'd like to be hip. I'd like to have rhythm. I'd like to say things like it's all gravy and have it refer to something other than gravy. White people would love to be black, but someone has to be in charge. Look, being the oppressor, 24/7 job, everybody. I don't get to wake up and say, oh, I'm not going to oppress today. So it was a bit like that. Yeah. And the black audience is just fucking slamming their hands on the chairs, laughing hysterically. But if I go across the bridge and do that in San Francisco, white audiences fold their arms and that you can't do that. You can't be racist on stage. And I'm like, no. I was being exactly what was expected of me. And they understood, like, oh, he's doing a character.
Yeah.
Because we don't actually believe that he's sitting in some control room
oppressing,
pulling the levers of our life, you know, making sure that things are hard.
Yeah.
So the absurdity lives, but with white people, the absurdity does not live.
It never does.
They just see the oppression.
They cannot think.
No.
I don't know if this is, that's not a joke. That's not fun. But, and that's actually, we were talking about that earlier, and a lot of your set, it's absolutely brilliant because you talk about the differences of how something makes you feel and just, you know, taking the idea of a joke. And we'd listened to the podcast with the Dork Force where you're talking specifically about comedy.
Right.
And about what
controversies.
Exactly. Controversies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what is okay and what isn't and what people will laugh at, but then what they won't. And it's
sure.
You said on the stage tonight, you're like, every joke is not funny.
Right. Yeah. Every joke fails if you're going to feel your way through it somehow.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with the internet right now. People want to talk about how the joke made them feel and how people like them could have felt.
Could
or
have.
Even people that aren't like me, but I can imagine those people. I'm now third person offended on behalf of my make-believe friend. Yeah. And you go, okay, what the hell's going on here?
Yep.
Because while you feel so much, if I were to ask you a very logical question, which is what makes a joke good?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a logical question.
Sure.
Take your feelings out of it and be right. objective. And now there's no information.
Right.
So you go, okay, so you're telling me no information, but you're telling me how you feel. Well, this isn't a debate anymore. This is just a therapy session.
Yeah.
And you're calling that a critique of my comedy. Well, that doesn't work at all for me.
Yeah.
You have to tell me something about jokes that's information.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I want them both at the same
all
time.
Right. Here we go. Two, one. Do you
so
think
you get
that's
a lot
of that
during all
really
your
popular
sort of,
in the college
humor?
Crowd like Tim and Eric?
You know what? The absurdity with the college crowd and why there's so much dark stuff in my humor are two different questions. And I just want
thank you. Thank you. Very, very
much. I'm going to address them both at the same time as well, which is fuck you guys.
Left and right brain activated.
The absurdity of the college crowd mm-hmm. is that they want to pretend they're adults.
Yeah.
Of course.
And so
yeah.
they want to look right. for reasons that prove that they're adults.
Yeah.
And they go, well, I can pick out all the reasons why that joke is bad.
Right.
But do
and
you
it's,
think that
it's like, yes, you can go into an art gallery and pick out all the reasons why the painting is bad.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's a bad,
bad painting.
Painting.
But my point was like Tim and Eric and that like absurd humor.
Yeah.
It can be offensive, but it's just weird. Do you think that's why that's so popular?
I want to apologize that I didn't understand the question.
No, I like the answer.
Oh, don't apologize. We fucking shot that at you.
Right,
and
you
did.
We both went at the same time and now I've shrunk and I
you did
oh,
your
maybe,
best.
I, maybe got the question
I like
wrong.
The
that kind of makes sense.
I like the answer regardless.
Yeah, they like very absurd stuff, especially yeah. if it's in song, because they realize, oh, a song is difficult and hard to write and we can respect that. And it's just a song. We can tell it's silly. And
right.
so they let that stuff go a lot.
Wow.
And true. Especially when something, as long as it doesn't have some definitive victim they can point out,
sure.
then they go, yeah, it was really great because it didn't have a victim. Like all jokes about rape culture are great. And I go, no, because it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
People did not.
Mm-hmm.
That joke about rape culture consistently gets laughs. And yet this other joke about rape culture never gets
never,
laughs.
Because it's not
those
funny.
Are different.
Yes.
Yet you in your college brain want to go, no, they're both good because they have a positive message. No. We're not talking about that at all.
No,
we're talking
funny.
About the message. So why my comedy is so dark? I don't even think it's dark. I think it's perceived as dark.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My, the real question is, do you get a lot of that criticism from people that aren't that are taking it at face value and not really looking, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Definitely a lot of people, you know, they go with this emotional response. You can't joke about suicide.
Yeah.
And I want to go, no, I can. I just did it. You saw
burning.
Me do it.
People
and I achieved. Other people could get on stage with my same material
right.
and not get laughs.
Yep.
Why? Not talented.
Not
different
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I even wrote the words for them.
Yeah.
I put it together and did the work for them, and they still couldn't achieve. But you know, that's them going with their emotional response to. Well, let me tell you about suicide. No. Don't tell me about suicide. No. Tell me about jokes.
Yes. And I think people confuse the what a joke about suicide and making fun of suicide is. And I think that's like the big difference is because you mentioned the word.
Well, I wouldn't feel bad or I would feel bad about comedy if I didn't know one specific thing, which is the audience has never learned anything about comedy.
Right.
Yeah. They never had to read a book about comedy.
Right.
They never once were forced to write a joke and read it in front of their fifth grade class.
Right.
That's never happened.
Nope.
Everybody in here had to write a goddamn poem.
That's right.
We all had to write a poem and read it
in front of the class.
And what did we learn? We learned, poetry is kind of difficult. Oh, maybe I'm not good at this. There's a level of humility that sets in.
Maybe I'm never going to go to a poetry show.
Right. Right. There are a lot of people that go, oh, this is a mystery. I don't get it. I don't get it. But you actually learn that you don't get it.
Yeah.
With comedy, you're left to your whole life to go, yeah, I get it. If I laugh, it's good. If I don't laugh, it's bad. It's bad. And those are the only rules. Mm-hmm. My perspective rules all. And you go, I don't know. No. If you really understood it, you would be able to say, oh, I don't like that joke, but I also know why it is good.
Yeah.
Just like you would with a poem or a painting. I have painter friends who can stand in front of a Picasso and go, I hate this thing. If I never see it again, it'll be too soon. Oh, okay, I'll tell you why it's a great painting and a masterpiece. Here we go.
Like Def Leppard.
And you go, okay, great.
God damn it, not like Def Leppard.
Yeah, just like Def Leppard.
Yes, absolutely like Def Leppard.
Exactly like Def Leppard. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like Dream Theater.
Ooh,
I'll one up you.
Yeah, there you go. Because
do you listen to Dream Theater?
A musically, a very musically talented, intricate They're music, like a, but that is not metal, for everybody.
Heavy metal orchestra. Like, where it's like, yeah, those guys know the
They're
shit
talented.
Out of music.
I mean, ridiculously talented.
Uh-huh. And it sucks. I can't fucking stand it.
You can listen to it and go, those guys are
just like Rush.
Yeah, the dudes that like Dream Theater, long-ass hair, tucked in, you know, band shirt, white tennis shoes, appreciate the they're probably like engineers, like the smartest fucking guy, audio engineers, and like Dream Theater, all the arpeggios in the guitar, and I'm like, that's why it's wonderful, and I fucking can't stand it.
At first, like, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Garza hates fucking Dream Theater.
And you don't have to be his enemy. You could be his friend because he gets it.
Yeah.
He gets why you like it.
Yes. Yes.
And he gives you props. Yes, please go. Enjoy reggae. I won't be joining you. But go do it.
It was like my first death metal show that I went to with you guys. And I'm not a fan of death metal. I don't own any death metal CDs, but we went to the show and it was magnificent. It was fun to be in that community and that culture and just
You're a big death metal fan, right?
I love death metal. Bands like Megadeth
Megadeth
really nice.
Metal Licka.
Yeah. Slayer is really good.
Slayer.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
The French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tart. It's kind of tart, you think about it.
Yeah.
Anthrax.
Anthrax.
Anthrax. And Cradle of Filth.
An Autopsy.
And Death. Well, it's a punk band, but.
Yeah. Rock and roll. Yeah. So, Ryan, dude, like, thank you so much. Fourth anniversary, third time here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been great, guys. I loved it. Thanks so much for having me. Good night.
You know,
that's all we needed to do, right?
I could get some Jack in the Box now, right, guys?
Knock it out.
Yeah, two tacos chicken.
Those sourdough rolls.
All right, Jess, so what do we got today?
Hey, it's time for another exciting installment of Yeah, we're looking at that, a segment where I talk about new movies and new games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners and people across the board would be, yeah, we're looking at that. So this week we're talking about the upcoming movie called Hardcore Henry. And Hardcore Henry is a action movie shot entirely from a first-person perspective. The cameraman / stuntman wears this mask apparatus where he has a GoPro 3 where his eye vision is, as opposed to a GoPro helmet where you see above his head, but it's actually like within his line of sight.
Ooh.
So the entire action of the movie is entirely from this character, Hardcore Henry's perspective. It's not the first movie to be entirely in a first-person perspective. There's the movie called Enter the Void. So there's that movie, and there's other movie. I guess found footage movies are in the same category. Movies shot from camera movements, being John Malkovich. Those segments.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
I thought there was an old one, like in 50s or 60s.
Or even segments of Strange Days where the entire beginning, one of my favorite sequences ever, is fall from this first
and
person.
And every porn, it says POV.
An entire library.
I just really hope, you know, that these actors get paid as cinema photographers.
Yes.
You know, I want them two jobs. They better get into the unions as well. Both unions.
That's a really good question.
That's funny, because when you look at the credits, they don't credit him as a stunt person. They credit him as a cinematographer. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. The pay grade's higher.
Yeah, and as like there's actually a couple of guys. It's not just one guy. It's multiple guys doing the actual camera work / stunt work for it. It branched off from the director, who was in this music band, and his music video that went viral was called Bad Motherfucker. And it went viral. It has like recorded on YouTube like over 10 million views. But if the director said if you add all the views that people stole it and put it on Facebook, whatever, it like counts up to like 120 million views. And it's this short music video of same thing. It's an action video entirely from a first person perspective.
Dude,
it's
a sci-fi and killing action. A bunch of people, right?
It's like been described as it's like a video game playthrough, but in real life. So that's kind of the appeal. Video gamers.
Well, yeah,
like
I was going to say over the years, all these ads for video games seem like, oh, what's this movie? I'm going to see.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a game. I have to play my way through to. I don't think I have time for that.
Nope.
Yeah. I could go to a 2-hour movie. I can't do a 16-hour game.
But would you watch a hardcore gamer play the game so you can get the story?
If it was consolidated
in 2 hours?
In 2 hours, yeah.
In 2 hours. I think it is a time issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get into a little like Batman, Arkham Asylum or whatever, but I won't play. I'll just be like, all right, what's going on with this?
Yeah. And that's just us. We watch him play. Yeah. He's the person
There's videos online where people do that. They'll call it like Batman Arkham Asylum, the movie, and they just take the integral story parts edited together, and now it's like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah,
fucking A.
Yeah, so there you go.
Have to watch you play, and
it's weird. You said fucking A, but you gave thumbs up.
Yeah,
it sounded disappointed, but you were like, "Oh, I'm so disappointed in me for not thinking of that." Oh, that's a great thing.
Yeah, I was sorry, podcasters. My thumbs went both up to the ceiling.
So the story of the movie is it starts off with a man who's got amnesia, and he wakes up with biomechanical parts, his arms and legs. He's robot man
he's
now.
He's half man.
He's half man,
Android,
half machine.
All man.
And this technician is working on him is apparently his wife, very attractive woman. Yeah. And in the early courses of the movie, she gets abducted by evil forces, evil robot forces, and it's up to him. And Charlton Copley, who's from an actor best known in District 9, Chappie, A-Team, America's favorite African.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, South African?
Yeah, South African.
He's African-American.
He's African-American.
No, he's not. He's not an American. I think he still had citizenship.
Oh, no, he's actually an African.
He's America's favorite.
We like him and John Boyega. We like blacks that aren't American.
Yeah.
That's what America is into right now in cinema.
It's like they don't have that 400 years guilt that we have to deal with.
Right. And then we lean on people like Morgan Freeman, you know, when we need to tell those stories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're like, you were there then, right? And it's like, no, guys, no. He just has white hair. Take it easy.
White hair and many freckles.
The racist
many
film freckles, industry. Yes.
Tell us again why we shouldn't have Black History Month. Tell all of us.
I do want to, you keep saying, like, he wakes up and he has biomechanical arms and his wife. I think it's you wake up and you have
biomechanical,
and then your wife was taken, because I think we're watching it from that perspective, right?
Absolutely.
So you're almost supposed to believe that it's you.
Yes.
And I mean, people talk to you.
So no women could watch this.
But
how do sexist goddamn movie industry.
Or just women who want to know what it's like to be a man.
A man out to rescue a woman.
In South Africa?
Russia. The director is actually Russian.
That's where bad things happen.
That is where bad things happen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everybody knows that.
Yes, very much so.
All those Asians with blonde hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because of his viral video and because of just the momentum it had, it started off it was getting funded no matter what. But as proof of concept to see if people were interested in it, they threw a fundraiser, Kickstarter. It raised a few million dollars. That just people do that now. If they have the backing for the movie, they just want to see, will this movie be profitable? They'll throw a Kickstarter and they go, no, people will pay money for the movie even before it comes out. So when it went to film festivals, it was immediately auctioned off. Like people wanted it right away. It was bought for $10 million. So yay. And the movie probably costs a couple of million, if that.
I don't know if I like that process.
Yeah.
You know, cause there are so many things that it's like, hey, would people buy this? Do you think people would be interested in buying a pet rock? Let's start a Kickstarter for that. And everybody would go, no, I'm not buying a pet rock. Meanwhile, huge selling product.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. The TiVo. We were like, oh, the TiVo, it's a great product. You should buy this. And people went, no, I'm not buying that. Everybody has a DVR.
Yeah.
People predict things very poorly. Like the market is a really bad predictor.
Yeah.
But you will always get something made if the market says, yes, we want it.
Yep. Yeah. But that happens though, because another, going back the same train of thought, the movie, when it was getting to like viral video, viral things going viral, and then people are going to pay for this. It goes back to Snakes on a Train, which was massively viral. And
Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, Snakes on a Plane.
I would rather see Snakes on
people
a Train.
People were like guaranteed this is going to be a hit because they were sold in the fact that it's Samuel Jackson versus Snakes on a Plane. They had the whole like, yeah, there's a phone number you can call, and Samuel Jackson would like leave a tailored message to you if you just put your name in and certain parameters. So Samuel Jackson would call your friend. Like if I wanted to leave a message for Larry, I'd punch in Larry. His name's Larry. He likes video games and whatever. And I would see those attributes, and there was recorded things that Samuel Jackson did, and he would tailor it to you and send you a voice message.
Hey, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
You like video games.
And so they thought it was going to be a huge hit, and the movie bombed. It was, like, unpredictable. It's like the reverse of, like, what you're saying, but, like, it's...
Right. The audience demanded it, and then you made it.
Nothing.
They're like, no, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to see this.
It's a toddler who you made a sandwich for. They took a bite and went, I'm full. I'm full.
It's a toddler that was like, I want a gummy bear peanut butter sandwich. You're like, that's not going to taste good, honey. No, I want a gummy bear peanut butter.
All right, I'll make it.
And then you make it.
And then the toddler laughs at you, like, I can't believe you made that. You're so stupid.
Some people see that.
Gross.
That's
so that'd be interesting to see if this movie like tanks or is a success. But and then on the same time, they paid this much money, so it wasn't that much. But that leads into the actual first topic question and the whole kind of reason why we asked it. And the topic is, what is your worst moment of motion sickness?
Because
one of the first things is going to be is when people look at that, they're like, I don't want to see that. I'm going to get sick because they've already been sick from your Cloverfield and your Blair Witch Projects and your Chronicle and movies that have a lot of massive camera movement.
And just playing Silent Hill demos. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is true. You get very sick from that.
Fuck all that.
Yeah. So the question is, based off the movie, which is potentially going to be a problem, is what's your worst moment of motion sickness?
Because 20 minutes into it, you're going to be like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah,
this
I'm not going to go any further.
Stop.
And they did take it into account because that's part of the technology of the camera is that they have stabilizers on the mask, which is a challenge for the stuntman slash cinematographer, is that the helmet is kind of has weight because not only is it a mask with a camera, it's a mask with a camera with a stabilizer that keeps the image from being
too jarring.
So they're trying to keep the motion as smooth as possible. Nonetheless, you're still
a lot of motion.
Still a lot of motion. So my kickoff answer is actually somewhat recently, and it goes into another thing coming out this year. It's the year of virtual reality, which is this year.
Again!
This year!
Came back around. So it's year of the rat, year of the dragon, and then virtual reality.
And then rabbit.
Yeah, the price tag for these sets, like for a phone, virtual reality is like $100. Here's a thing that you put your phone in. There's your like low-cost virtual reality. But the bigger ones, the Oculus Rift is $600. It comes out this Monday. So when you listen to this podcast, if you got $600 in your pocket, you want to get fucking motion sickness
immediately. Put it to our fundraiser to see if we're good or not.
Yeah, exactly. So Oculus Rift and then Sony released their news for their PlayStation virtual reality set. That is $500. That's not including the PlayStation 4 you need to play it. So for total cost for the Sony virtual reality experience is about $800.
And what's the experience?
The experience is
it a game?
Well, the experience is it's a peripheral. So virtual reality sets now, like the current virtual reality sets they set, are full-blown headsets that wrap around your ears and your entire head. They take away all peripheral vision. You're totally immersed in these screens. It's using stereoscopic.
What I'm saying is there's good games out there?
They're developing
games. See, that's games the thing. Like, you're going to get the thing and then be like, well, I hope the game doesn't suck.
So that brings up to my answer because I've actually tested out the beta version because our friend Brant Bumpers got a beta version of the Oculus Rift. And it's an early version, so it has the same technology, but it's a lower res. It's at 720p, and the newer ones are like 4K and all this other stuff. Yeah.
Virtual reality looks fucking blurry.
Blurry and pixely. And what it does is it'll basically take any first-person graphics and basically puts it, it just changes the perspective into the glasses, and it makes it immersive. Okay. So wherever you move your head is kind of like the cursor or the mouse.
But it makes you smarter. Right. If you were like a lawnmower
if you were a lesser mentally disabled lawnmower man
that looked like Kurt Cobain.
Right.
Then you would be in virtual reality.
You could fuck. in gelatin vision.
That's all everybody.
And then call everybody on their cell phones simultaneously.
You become Ultron.
You become Ultron. Yeah. So anyways, yeah. No. So you try it out and it immerses you. So your head is the cursor wherever you look. If you full 360 motion, you can look at whatever. Yeah. So I tested this out and a few episodes ago, I talked about this game Among the Sleep. It's a game where you play as a toddler, as a baby toddler. Yeah. So I tested it out in that game and it fucked me up. And I don't get motion sickness. I don't like first person movies or boats or cars or I don't really get it. But this game where you're playing from the perspective of a toddler crawling on the floor where it was like moving around on top of it being fully immersed, your hearing is fully immersed. It's almost like a soundproof headphones. You can rarely hear anything outside. You're fully immersed in this thing. And when you're playing and you have this motion, particularly of a child, of getting up, walking down, crawling, and moving around, I genuinely, after like 10 minutes, I got woozy. And I did take the headset off, and I looked around, and I was dizzy. Like, I was pretty much...
Well, that's why babies are always spitting up.
Yeah.
We don't know that. They can't handle their emotions.
Yeah, well, now that I actually handled
from
it...
From their perspective.
From their perspective, you can see it. And I really did get woozy. I was in a chair playing, but then I did feel like I was... Like, I had to, like, put my hands on the desk and go... Like, breathe,
and
I just felt like I was gonna,
well,
like...
Well, yeah, your head's too big, your arms are too weak, you can't do anything.
Yeah, my best friend's a teddy bear,
you're just full of milk.
Yeah, I was gonna say it, and you take off the lens, and then you're, like suckling on the corner of a pillow, and that's why nothing's coming out, because you're frustrated trying to nurse.
Yeah.
Being a baby sucks.
Being a baby really does suck. Take it from me, when I've actually experienced it... In 720p.
Yeah. Because babies can't see in full HD.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Ah, there it is.
Now it makes sense.
Can you imagine the only way you communicate is just to cry?
Yeah.
That's to communicate everything. I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm tired, I'm hungry. I just cry, and then somebody just shakes you up and down and goes,
No.
You're like, I'm trying to communicate, and you're saying no.
No,
we don't want you to communicate anything to us.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
Shut up.
I'm motion sick.
Yeah, stop shaking me. I'm getting sicker.
And then you throw up, and then shit! And then you get handed to your mom, and
Yeah. So there it is. It's been over a year, and that was probably my first, like, sense of like, oh, this is what motion sickness is like, because I've never experienced
never
it up until you threw this set and you're fully immersed as a baby. Well, in particular this baby, but everything else was also the same thing. The more I tried it out, the like I got queasy. I couldn't do.
Nope.
I can't see. It's interesting to see that being a mainstream thing where gamers will play for hours, increments of hours, but then now you're putting you're totally immersing them.
All your senses
for over an hour. Like, can the mental, can you handle it for that long? So anyways.
Well, I have vertigo bad.
Just straight up.
Yeah, that's
right. Straight up, like, diagnosed vertigo. I have vertigo so bad when they went to go do tests. They did, the stickers on my head and shit.
Yeah. And just putting the stickers on, started falling off.
I barf. Yeah. the doctor's like, okay, follow my exam.
Right. What's that mean?
Yeah,
what's wrong with me?
I was in another country, so I couldn't communicate with him just by crying and barfing. And so, do you need me to change you? No, but they told me to close my eyes and look straight. And I don't know, have you ever tried to do that? It feels fine, I'm sure, to you guys. But when I close my eyes, and the physician was getting upset because he thought I was doing it on purpose, my eyes just go...
Oh, wow, yeah. Really?
And I never noticed it before, but that's why I was having trouble sleeping, because my eyes are just like, that's weird.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and so that machine was able to see where my eyes are going. And what it is, it's a sinus infection in your ears, right? And that's what causes the imbalance, of your, equilibrium or whatever. And I'm like, wow, my sinuses are so fucked up, that's what gave me the bad vertigo.
Mm.
And the way I discovered that was on the Superman coaster
in
Texas. I was totally into roller coasters, loved all sorts of roller coasters. And me and my wife, we, played hooky, went to Fiesta, Texas, we were 25, 26, our daughter was one at the time. And we're like, yeah, bro, let's go to Krypton Coaster. And I've done it dozens of times.
Full body suspension. You're not in a car. Yeah.
I'm in it to win it. And, you know, I've had problems with the first person shooters and stuff like that. Just my whole life just can't do it. Right. But, you know, whatever. I don't do spinny rides. And this is like loop de loops and roller coasters I can handle. And when I got off of it, you remember when you were a kid and you would spin and you'd be like,
yeah.
And you couldn't stop?
Uh-huh.
Picture that as an adult and you can't stop just moving to the right. And your head's just like, okay.
Wait, you physically were moving to the right, or you felt like you were?
I think I was actually doing it.
But it was so small, but it felt like you were like full turning.
Yeah, it felt like my brain was moving, but I was staying still.
Yeah.
Or whatever my soul, whatever is looking out of my eyes, fell within the, you know.
It's just drifting.
The shell of my body.
Yeah, with a belly full of $10 churros and it's a kadoozie.
Yeah, I ate the fuck out of some it's, and I smoked at the time, so it didn't fucking help. And so, yeah, that was the worst, was the definitive one. Fast forward 10 years later, I got my antivert, and I'm like, all right, let's, you know.
Antivert?
That's the name of the medicine that they give you for vertigo.
Vertigo,
which
is a good, wow. Good
name. So I said, all right, take some fucking antivert, and let's ride the steel eel. At SeaWorld. Which is just a up and downy. It's, you know, a novice roller coaster, and that fucked me up.
Even with the antivert.
So I'm a pussy now.
Yeah, you're my dad.
And you just can't solve that sinus infection?
I can't.
I've also taken some antibiotics and
apparently not.
That's why you got vertigo in your head.
I do.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah.
God damn.
It just happens. And so yeah,
he's gonna be dead soon.
I mean, I'm a Hitchcock classic.
Yeah.
Can you sit in the backseat of a car for a long time?
That's why I normally drive. Like when we take road trips.
That's what I'm saying. Can you do it?
I can drive because I'm controlling.
No, can you sit in the backseat of a car? See, you're my dad.
Or read in a car?
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
But what about, but does that count for,
I can't even look at my phone, yeah.
Okay.
If I just keep looking at my phone and somebody else is driving, like, I start to feel stuff, and then I go, oh, I know what that is. I need to stop.
The weird thing with the phone is because I'm scrolling, it's okay.
You counter but motion the
static
motion.
Reading.
Yeah. But if I'm static reading a magazine, yeah.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah, you're my dad.
Rock hard erection. Yeah.
You're like my dad.
There you go. Yeah. Interesting.
Every time he has any sickness, just walking around.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry.
At least I think he's sick. That's what my mom says. He's sick.
He's sick.
He's
walking
sick
around
man.
With an erection.
he's
children.
He's ill every time he gets that way.
It's real awkward.
Makes sense.
No, I didn't masturbate until I was 31.
Yeah.
I thought I was sick.
Yeah, because of erections? Like, it's like a symptom,
yeah, I was
right?
Like, oh, I can't touch. I'm lying about the masturbation thing. Anyway.
I don't think you are.
I thought,
right.
Let's just keep this riff going.
How about you,
Oculus Rift?
Me?
Keep this Oculus Rift going.
God damn it.
Mine's real lame. It was, we went to go see the Statue of Liberty. In the little ferry that goes to the Statue of Liberty, and then it came back, and then it...
This is a masturbation story?
Yeah.
No, oh, wait, is that where we went to?
No.
We're going to. Because, yes.
I can only come when I'm dizzy, so it's a good thing I've heard.
Only on Staten Island.
On just giant women turn me on. It was coming back, and so we docked, I guess, the ferry, and then it... I don't get motion sickness at all. I can read. I don't get motion sickness.
Well,
It takes a lot. Oh, yeah. I can read while moving.
Okay.
I really don't. But for this one particular reason, we docked, but there were some just waves. And so we weren't even moving. And usually they say it's when you stop that it actually starts. Because we did a whale watching tour as well. And they say it's fine when you're going out there. But once you stop and you're just waiting for those whales, that's when you're starting to get sick. But I was fine for that. But for some reason... We had docked, and it was just too wavy that they couldn't let the people off. So we're just sitting there waiting, just sitting there moving, sitting there waiting, sitting there moving. And it's just – you couldn't move. They're like, if everyone could just stay seated, and then we're just waiting for this waves to go to move so we can let everybody out. And everyone's just sitting there moving. And it was just – it just felt gross, and it was during the summer, which I'm sure didn't help.
Yeah.
The summer.
There's some about those words. Like, I studied poetry in college, and there's something about the words sitting there, moving, sitting there, moving, sitting there. And it just feels bad.
It was bad
listening to it.
It was bad. It was hot. It was gross. And people were starting to get sick. Just like yeah. And it sucks because it's right there. You can get, I mean, you were supposed to be able to get off right there and you're just waiting. Please just let us off. And it was like, we're there like 15 minutes waiting for this
just the
thing.
Saving
to
Private
stop.
Ryan ride.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was horrible. It was really, really bad. I felt, we were there with students. And so some of the kids were getting sick because they'd never even been on a boat before. Like they
never.
Yeah. Like they'd never been.
What part of the world is this?
This is New York. This okay. is just a Statue of Liberty. And it was a hot summer day, and I was like, oh, this is horrible. This is horrible.
I get lost because you were like Staten Island, you know, Statue of Liberty, and then you said whale watching, and I was
oh,
like,
oh, that was another trip. That was another
right,
trip.
Right, right. So where
Thank
was,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't travel at all, and he's captain everywhere in the world. And so I went, wow, they do whale watching in
Boston. No, that was
in
Boston. That was, okay, all right. That was in Boston.
I just believe everything he says.
Oh, yeah, no, there's whales in Staten Island.
Yeah, you just don't see them, man.
I was
yeah.
on board with
it's
that.
A special tour.
Didn't Google it, just yeah. believed it.
You should. So that was my thing, too. I was whale watching. I was oh. probably, I don't remember this. I was told that I was like 3-4 years old and that the motion sickness was so bad that my parents gave me Valium.
Whoa.
I knocked out and apparently slept for a good 2 days. 2 days.
Two what?
And then anytime I would act up as a kid, my mom would be like, we should get that Valium back. From what I remember, it was another boat situation. We were on like a speedboat and we had been out like water skiing and whatnot on a lake. And then there was this little kind of room beneath the bow of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you could like change clothes in there or whatever, but it's a small room. And I remember laying on the bed feeling ill. And then, like, looking back down toward my feet and out the door and just watching, like, the horizon bump up and down the whole time. And I'm like, oh, this is real bad. But related to that, I've been on the True TV show, David Spade's Fameless,
mm-hmm.
Where it takes people mm-hmm. and they're like, hey, you want to be famous, right? You want to be on this TV show? So this is the type of show. And we always lie to them.
Yep.
It's a dating show and or it's a... you know, an infomercial and you're going to have to sell this product. We need a good salesman. So you do it. And these people get put in these situations. So I was hosting a dating show or so this person thought,
yeah.
and we had them on a roller coaster and we said, here's how the show works. So we're going to send you on a date with a girl, but you can only talk to her while you're on the coaster. And then if you feel like you've made a match with a girl, we let you run around the theme park for the day.
That sounds was the, like a real show. Yeah.
Yeah. And they went, oh, okay. So I said, so I'm just going to climb into the coaster with you and let's get out of here. So we do the coaster and I do the typical host talk where I'm like, so tell me about your dating life. What are you looking for in a girl?
Wow.
And I'm playing it so straight while this thing is just going around. And then I get out. I say, okay, let's meet your first girl. This is Christina. Christina, hop in. Remember, no talking. Get out of here. And then he's on the roller coaster for his second time.
Ooh.
And he's going around and they dock and I get her off. No, no, no talking. No talking. All right, sir, we want you to talk to the GoPro at the front of the roller coaster. Tell America what you thought of Christina. Get
oh,
out of here.
My
and
God.
So he's been on three times already, and he's only done one date.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay, this is Kaylee. Kaylee, this is so-and-so. No talking. Get out of here. All right, that was your date with Kaylee. Tell America what you thought of Kaylee. Remember, as soon as you find a match, you can get off the coaster. And, of course, they start feeling sick.
Yeah.
We run these pranks with 2, 3, 4 people to get really the best people. And the first guy wouldn't get motion sick at all.
Oh.
So
he was really waiting for the winner.
It was the only time. I've done like 10 episodes of this show. It's the only time we had to be like, we're going to stop the prank. So listen, this isn't a dating show. This is we're sorry. You don't get sick. So you're just bored.
Thanks for ruining
it. We're bored watching you. We're going to pay you anyway. Just get the hell out of here. And the guy was like, oh, okay.
Do I get a date?
But that's the only time I've seen a prank not work because the dude wouldn't get motion sick. The other guys, they're like, I'm going to pick her. I made a match with her. We have to get off the coaster. And then a producer would come out and say, hey, listen, I know you picked Kaylee, but Kaylee's like an actress. She's not really in this for love. She's just kind of bullshitting her way through. You should really meet this next girl.
That is horrible.
All right. So this is Sandra. Sandra, get on the coaster. Take off. All right. I know you feel bad, but you have to tell America we thought of Sandra. So you have to go. No, 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 I don't want to go. I made a match with Sandra. So we think Sandra is kind of a cunt. We really don't think. She's playing it up for you, but we saw her backstage. You should really meet this next girl. And these guys, instead of saying, no, I'm not meeting the next girl.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, no, I want to move on with the show. They would go, all right, let's meet the next girl. These guys would puke multiple times.
No.
And then finally, after puking like 3-4 times, guys would be like, all right, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. Oh, okay. Well, listen, if you don't want to go on with the show, we could put you on a different show. What do you mean a different show? Maybe like a prank show, yeah. Like Fameless? That's awesome. And they go, oh, God, you know, yeah. they realize that. Poor they guy. Had a choice the whole time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they constantly put themselves in a position to be abused.
Yeah.
That episode hasn't aired yet. I'm excited to see it in
edit. I am excited. It's fun. And it's on True TV?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait for that. I would have chosen you. on the first go round,
I'm gonna go with the host.
Yeah, I'm gonna date the host. Are you homosexual? No,
he's a handsome man.
I'm gonna barf right now, sir. We haven't started. Like Fabio with the bird in his face, but it would just been my own blood and feathers
and vomit, yeah.
For some reason.
He's
and vomit.
Puking feathers.
He did
have theme park food. That's what's in those hot dogs.
Right, yes, exactly. He just ate a pigeon. He's like, hot dog, $8. I'll just eat this pigeon. So what about Facebook? What did Facebook say?
Alfred Perez says, I was at Akon. I don't know. Is that a rapper?
Akon, no.
He's a rapper.
Akon is a rapper, but is also an anime convention in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Ah, rapper. Yeah.
Back in the 90s. I rode the elevator with my bro, Matt, and for some reason, halfway up, the elevator felt like it was going a million miles an hour. I got dizzy and almost passed out.
An elevator?
Where's the fastest...
fastest elevator?
Yeah.
Is it space?
Chicago. Don't they have, like, the one... I don't know which one. Is it Sears Tower? Or the
Stratosphere's not...
It's the Willis Tower.
That's tall, but it's not fast, is it?
That's like super fast.
You have to find those elevators where you look at the buttons and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those aren't on there. It just starts at 60.
Yeah, exactly.
You hit that and you start going up.
That's the Willis Tower.
Willis Tower, yeah. Fastest one.
Right? Oh no, but about where it skips.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Victoria Acevedo says threw up at the Mayan during Cloverfield.
Okay, there you go.
At the shaky cam.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a movie straight up.
She, do not go watch.
I was going to say Blair Witch, but I was just disgusted with the plot.
Greg Forrest.
Those actors have really committed, though, by staying out of the spotlight.
Sure
we
did.
Still believe right? that they died.
They're just real people.
Really great died. Souls.
Yeah. They're lost.
Keeping that going.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah. No, she wrote a book about weed, selling weed. That's her book.
Oh.
That is true.
Yeah, the elevator will operate in a new Supertail skyscraper being built in Guangzhou, China.
It's being built, though, so it doesn't count.
With a top speed of 45 miles an hour. This was updated April 20th. Wow, it's a very recent article.
Wow.
Herman, Greg Forrest says, Herman's Sons Fair 1990 had just eaten 2-foot-long hot dogs, washed down with 2 massive Cokes. I ride the spinning swings, the ones that rise as you travel left. I know I was going left because the puke went right.
Herman's Sons.
It was a fair. Travis K says, every time I go to Fiesta Texas and do the 8-ball ride, so the spinny one, I call it astronaut training because my fellow riders and my mission is to be the fastest spinning ball. But sweet baby Jesus, does it kick my stomach in the butt afterwards? Gabriel Diaz says, got car sick and threw up in a plastic bag that had a hole in it when I was 6 years old.
Yeah. Play-Doh playset bag, just puke Play-Doh playset hole, star-shaped, I don't know.
Juan Pelia says, I only got motion sickness as a kid on long road trips and always ended up throwing up. Eventually, my parents started giving me Dramamine to knock me out during the ride.
Valium
is what they had.
That's the way to go.
That's what they had. They didn't have.
That'll get you for 2 days, not just a few hours.
Shut them up. Maggie Ivan said, "Summer 1984, crossing the English Channel to France. I'd never been in a boat before, much less extremely choppy body of water. I did not take any Dramamine and ended up laying down in the ladies' lounge below deck. It took about 30 minutes on land before my green parlor turned to normal." Andrew Thomas says, "Pretty much any time I'm on a boat." All right. Rachel Norberg says, I was shooting on a houseboat that wasn't properly anchored. Unfortunately, the changing area was on an area of boat that would take such a beating anytime would zip by on another boat and jet skis. I had to do my makeup there, and wearing heels made me feel worse.
Ugh. I stuck on a boat.
Yeah, and heels.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Ill.
I sucked it up, though, but you can see in some of the proofs where I was feeling really ill.
I hope to think of that every time I see like a hot girl on a boat in heels. I'm like, oh, she's feeling sick right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She could puke at any time.
Give me the negatives where it looks like she's suffering, please.
Jeez. That's what
just
we want to
over.
Yeah,
it's the best.
I want that calendar.
Claudio Rubio says, I've always been prone to motion sickness, and there are many stories, but my favorite puking memory was in New Orleans. I was already nauseous from riding the giant paddle boat. But I leaned over the railing to watch the giant red paddle spin. I knew I was going to puke, but I wanted to see my puke run through the giant red paddle.
Oh, gosh. That's kind of awesome.
It's gonna do it.
Those giant red paddles are amazing. Like, it's a kind of neat giant.
So you just want to see your fucking...
That's gross, but awesome. Justin Cooper says, I've never really been motion sick, but I will get that feeling when I'm dreaming of falling from a high place. Dreaming? That doesn't count.
Oh,
can you get motion sickness?
I don't know. You ever puke during a dream? In real life? You're dreaming, but you're puking in real life.
I've woken up when I was a kid. I had a dream that I was suffocating,
and I woke up, but I think I was actually suffocating. I had sleep.
I mean, I've woken up and then puked, but I had, like, food poisoning or something.
Yeah, but not in the dream.
No.
Right? No, okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't count, Judson. James Wells says,
that's not motion sickness.
Liar.
That's a dream.
He's like, this is the worst four-year anniversary ever. Hate this episode. I finally chime in and I get shot down.
Doesn't count. Dreams don't count. James Wells says, texting with both hands while driving over 90 miles an hour. That's not safe.
Nope.
All right. Carlos Castro, after surviving a rather large explosion, one beautiful autumn day, I spit some blood out, grabbed my weapon, and took care of business. When the dust settled, my adrenaline depleted, I headed back to wreckage that was now my home. As I got closer, the world began to spin. I threw up what looked like water, but felt like a scene out of Get the Hell Out. So this is our buddy who's in the army.
Who is a war hero and possibly superhuman.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Large explosion. Come on, man.
But he threw, he threw up the way guys spit. You know, like, threw up real quick and just kept going and killing people.
He covered up one nostril, blew whatever out through the other, went, I had some vomit in there, too. We're done. What's his name?
Carlos Castro, the Christmas soldier.
Hardcore Carlos.
Hardcore Carlos.
Go see the movie and watch him puke.
Don't see Hardcore Castro, which is
that's a dark shadow over my whole family's. Every holiday we meet together, we'll talk about it.
First person video games.
Oh, that's all it is. Okay.
It's just your first
still
person
a dark
view,
shadow over my family's.
Watching someone's perspective of watching him play first person shooter.
Yeah. In virtual reality.
Yes. Just looking around. Just look at that there's a screen in motion.
Yeah. And every 10 minutes it gets up to the fridge and says, like, there's any beef jerky in here?
Did he go to the toilet and puke?
And finally, go to the toilet and puke. I can't handle this virtual reality stuff, but that's all in the game, Hardcore Castro. I like it.
All right, finally, Jenny Matisek says, the only time I ever had motion sickness is when I had vertigo last fall. I remember sitting on my couch on my computer and then trying to get up and go to the bathroom, only to nearly walk straight into the table and walls. Spent 8 hours in the ER the day after that. Fun times.
Boo.
Vertigo's the worst, man.
That sucks.
Boo.
Yeah. I kind of don't believe it when people are like, I had vertigo one time.
Yeah.
I always think like, no, if you have vertigo, it's a constant thing in your life.
I don't think it is. I think it can go away, and I think I'm just ill.
But I don't mean that you permanently are in a state of it.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like...
It's something you suffer.
It's not like you're 45, and you're like, yeah, I had it one time one day for a few seconds.
No, you just didn't eat well that day and got up too quick.
Yeah.
Thank
right?
God.
What?
It's like a grandpa thing. You just got up too quick.
Yeah.
Now I'm going down too quick.
No, he has Down syndrome. He didn't just stand up fast. Grandma, no, she stood up fast when she was pregnant. That's why she turned out.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing, right?
Yeah. It's easy to treat, but you have it all the time. Mm. Happens when small crystals of calcium get loose in your inner ear.
Love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well,
I just like the idea of this.
If you're
crystals.
Larry and you suffer from vertigo, I don't recommend Hardcore Henry, which is in theaters in the month of April. So if you puke during Cloverfield, I don't recommend going to see Hardcore Henry. But if you don't have any motion sickness problems and you like to see
even
people,
then,
it'll be interesting to see. But even the director said when he was pitched, they're like, would you like to make a feature length movie? From this first person perspective, his answer was no. No,
it's too much.
I already did a music video and it's great. It's 5 minutes long. It's the perfect length.
I don't think my intention was out there.
Yeah. It's called Smack My Bitch Up by Prodigy.
Bad motherfucker. Yeah. There's another one that's great as well. And then they just said, hey, no, if someone's going to do it, wouldn't it rather be you? They kind of like pulled that on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I guess.
Fucking
like,
whatever.
Give me money. Yeah. So, but anyways, I'm willing to take the test to see whether it's entertaining for 90 minutes. So Hardcore Henry. Yeah. I'm going to look into that.
Nice. I'm going to say this. If you get sick watching a movie, stay the fuck off a boat. I think that's what we learned.
Yeah, that is absolutely.
Don't go the other way with it.
Don't watch this movie on a boat.
No.
This movie on a plane. Wait, nah. Like, do boats have movies?
A boat plane.
There it is.
Good night.
All right, guys, it's time for another edition of Dad's Corner.
Hooray!
There we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
And Ryan, do you have any kids?
No kids.
Not in the three times we've been here, so I'm outnumbered again. This edition of Dad's Corner, I ask, you're 6 years old again. What is the theme of your party if you had the choice? Right? Not what was your theme when you were six. You're 6 years old
now.
Right now.
Okay.
And you can choose whatever you want as your party.
You get to have your own theme.
And party, the reason why it's the question is because it's my son's sixth birthday next week. And there was a little bit of drama because my son every year asks for what seems to be a normal, easy theme for his birthday. He likes having themes for his birthday parties. And last year was Mario and Luigi. Super Mario Brothers, Nintendo. No, nothing. Anywhere at like Party City or Target, any of the basic stores, everything had to be special ordered. Then, of course, this year, fucking Mario and Luigi everywhere. So,
last year was hard to do Mario and Luigi?
Last year was very hard.
Really?
I couldn't even find fucking chocolate coins.
Huh.
What? Yeah.
Wow.
It's just the curse. The curse of Gunner and what he's into.
Yeah.
And so,
you know what? He's getting that shit again this year.
Begged, man, because what happened is we said, okay, Gunner, what do you want for your birthday this year? He says, I want a Halloween party. His birthday's in March. So I said, are you sure? And I like scary stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, that shouldn't be hard. You know, you have Halloween stuff.
I don't have tablecloths and fucking cake toppers and shit. And so I'm like, okay. So we rented a place, it's like Moonbounce Place, and we said, okay, we'll just get some black and orange tablecloths and maybe some cake plates. Yeah. Once again, fucking hard. You would think I would get them at like 75% off because it's fucking March. Nope. They only had like vintage shit that was like way expensive and like even just like kooky, like, you know.
Even like online skeleton. Or something?
Yes.
Like, wow.
No, because there's no shit at
Overstock.com or some shit like that?
Yeah. They're only like Etsy, only like super customized.
Yeah,
and like, God damn it. And I was like, okay, I have to get creative. And then we were walking around Party City. I said, okay, what do you want to, do you want to wear a scary shirt, a skeleton shirt at your party? He goes, no, I want to be Leatherface.
All right.
And I went, there it is. And he's named after Leatherface, the actor played Leatherface. And I squatted down. I said, are you doing this for me? Right. And then he's like, yeah, Dad, you like Leatherface and you like scary stuff and you're going to like my party. Right. And it broke my heart, man. I was I felt real special because I'm his hero and all this stuff like that.
It's your party.
It's And I said, fuck it. Let's have some fucking chicks over.
And you're like, can we do this in November?
How about that?
Can you know when everything's on sale, man?
The week after November.
Week
if
of
you
November.
Want me to be happy.
Good point.
And that's what I told him. I said, bud, you could dress as Leatherface for my birthday. You know, you don't have to do this for me. Do it for you. He goes, oh, well, then I can dress whatever I want. I'm like, yes. And he goes, well, I want to be Sonic. Right. And then I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go back to the aisle. Awesome. No fucking Sonic. Yeah,
bitch, wow. This is last year, but with a different system.
Exactly. Went from Nintendo to Sega. I was like, God damn it. But his justification was, I want it to be a Halloween party so I can wear a Sonic costume. And I said, dude, it's your birthday. You can wear whatever the fuck you want. You're wearing a goddamn Sonic costume. And that was easy to find online.
Right, yes.
So I was able to get him.
Did you see the great picture that comes with the costume of the poor, unenthusiastic kid wearing the Sonic
No, we
costume.
Bought that costume. Yes. We wanted to make sure that our child models weren't having fun. And you could tell.
Yeah, I don't know if you can pull it up. That picture is hysterical.
It's
this poor kid who's confused. I don't think he knows what he's wearing.
This multiracial kid who obviously has no idea who Sonic is, who was forced to wear this poor fucking
You're a blue hedgehog. Come on. Be excited.
How hard can it be? The photographer was like a really professional smile. God damn it.
No, but he says,
you're a nuclear winter fox with two tails. Go on.
Be put on the costume and dance for daddy.
I don't know.
No, right. Of course, my internet's going slow. So I got it. I got the costume. I got all the invitations. And it brings me up to my topic. Here it is. There's that fucking kid. Here, I'll just show you that.
This is a poor advertisement, everybody. They were like, you're fast, so show us running. No, 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 don't run away. Just stand there and pretend to run.
He doesn't get the concept. No.
You're just standing on one foot with an arm out now.
Can you add black paint to my nose? No. We don't want people to think it comes with a fucking nose, kid.
We want you to be unhappy as well.
Okay, can I wear my tennies? No. Wear boots. If you notice, he's wearing combat boots.
The other kids have these like red things that go over their shoes. This kid is just ugly. Like police boots.
Yeah, police boots.
Try also running in these Doc Martens.
The deluxe.
It's outstanding.
Oh, poor guy.
So that's the regular version.
He's wearing police boots.
Yes, I told you he's wearing police boots. And you notice the deluxe version are white kids with smiles. Look at that, with a face and everything.
The one with the mask is a white kid.
Yeah.
Well, they want to cover up his race. They don't want you to know he's white.
And then it's like, look, if you have this costume, everyone's going to know that, A, you're poor.
And B, you don't even have a hedgehog face.
Yeah, exactly.
The poor kid's wearing boots.
And that is probably not a flesh-colored oval.
That's just an oval. That's a hole in his chest that has his bare chest.
So what's going to happen are these kids are going to have fucking Jumpman logos on their Sonic costume because they're wearing their Jordan shirts underneath.
Oh, that's great.
Poor kid. But anyways.
But
it made sense to me why he wanted to be Sonic, because it's this like big obstacle course thing, and you just think, wow, at 6 years old, I'm going to fucking dress up as Sonic, and I'm going to be jumping through shit, spinning around, dream come true.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. I'm going to dress, I'm sure it's easy to find a Dr. Robotnik outfit, and I'm just going to fucking ruin his party.
Yeah, simple. Yeah, simple. You just find it.
Yeah, just Dr. Robotnik costume. Yeah,
go to the wilderness, capture real life animals like squirrels and birds,
and just throw them at him.
Let them loose in the ballpark. Yeah.
They're not going to kick me out. I have 2 hours to do whatever the fuck I want in that
thing.
All
right, son, you're going to fight a badger now. It's your party.
You're Sonic, right? You wanted to be Sonic. You wanted a Halloween party.
Get in that goddamn bouncy house. Lock the netting.
I don't want any of the adults to get hurt. They could sue. So, brings up my question, like I said. You're 6 years old. What's your theme? What's your ideal party? Mine, I'd be at fucking Castle Grayskull. But I would be Beast Man because
wait. But that's not popular right now.
No, but when I was six and I got to
choose. This is when we were six.
Yeah, and we get to choose because
I'm so mixed up.
You're six again.
Yeah, I don't know what 6 year olds are into right now. Yeah, so I'm with the iPad, so I'm going with the when I was six.
Yeah, because when I was six, I just had a backyard party with my name and ribbon, and it was like maybe a 5 minute sing happy birthday, and then go inside.
Yeah, everyone drank beer and had cold barbecue.
I was by myself in a kiddie pool with balloons, but not like water balloons, like balloons filled with water that didn't break. Mm-hmm. So when you threw them at people, they hurt and they didn't. Yeah. So I would be at fucking Castle Grayskull. I'd be Skeletor, not Beast Man. But the Skeletor with all of the drapes over him because I was real self-conscious about my belly. And I can't take my shirt off. There could be fucking chicks around.
Yeah.
And
6-year-old chicks.
Yeah. But, you know, chicks nonetheless. I was six, so it's not gross.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's
get you a big cat to ride as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, that could work. Yeah, that could work.
And
yeah.
Fur briefs.
Ah, right. Yeah.
Fur briefs and, you know, pointy boots and fucking 12-pack.
Wait, so that you...
Yeah, so I could take my shirt off.
Right.
And there'd be chicks there, like Evil Lyn.
Would there be?
Fuck yeah. It's my party.
Well, we make them dress up. I mean, they don't have choice.
Hire hookers.
Okay.
The adults are dressed up as Evil Lyn and She-Ra.
Hooker adults, but not the parents. It's like the Twilight Zone
movie where the kid got whatever he wanted and everyone was like,
"Oh, I was thinking like the old people turned into little kids and it was bizarre."
The bratty ass kid, like I remember watching that as a kid, being right. That would fucking rule.
It says something about you that the He-Man party, you're the villain.
Yeah,
it does say something about you, definitely. Because I remember when I was in church as a child, and they're like, "We're going to do a play," and my hand went up, and I went, "Can I be the bad guy?"
Yeah, instantly.
And they were like, "Well, I guess you're Judas then. You're going to be
Sweet.
Judas.
Nice. And give me some silver,
and
now.
You hang yourself at the end of this." I love it. I love it.
Sweet. Jesus dies because of me, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm the only brunette out of all these apostles. Uh-huh. Okay, dunzos.
And you cast a lady as Jesus, a female, a girl, a young, cute girl who's cast as Jesus. And I was like, she has to kiss me in the cheek before. It's going to be my first onstage kiss.
Nice.
I'm going to savor this one, and I'm going to betray her.
Did she have a beard, or was she still like kind of hot Jesus?
No. They went with the classic white Jesus with the baby face.
That could have passed as a girl.
You know.
Got it.
The one that, you know, drapes a hand out and like squirrels and whatever.
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of like around. The end of, God damn it.
Disney Princess Jesus.
What's the name of the movie?
That's what it is.
With Samuel Jackson and Matthew McConaughey. Time to Kill. It's like the end of a Time to Kill, but if he read the Bible. Now picture Jesus if he was white and a girl. Yeah.
Everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's my Jesus already.
So Master of the Universe, hookers is She-Ra and Evelyn, and I'm just surrounded by, and I beat the shit out of He-Man.
Love it.
Yeah,
love
that's mine. What about you?
Good
guys?
Theme.
Thanks.
I guess if I was six again, I'd go with a Gremlins themed birthday party where I get to be Gizmo.
Christmas birthday?
It's November, so it's close enough. I'll take it.
All right.
So I would get to be in a Gizmo suit, I guess. They don't make those back then, but I mean, it's now.
Right. Yeah. Blair will make you something.
I'm doing Dr. Robotnik. I got to make a Gizmo for you.
So it's just a fur suit, essentially, with big ears. And then we'd have to have it after midnight so that we'd eat after midnight.
And we all turn to Gremlins.
Just absolute go fucking ape shit.
Everybody goes crazy.
You're going to be Gizmo, so you can't turn into a Gremlin.
Little balls will shoot out of my back, and I'll make more gremlins, the evil ones, and all my friends have to be dressed as evil gremlins.
And then you kill them. So it's a perfect end of the party.
Yeah.
Everybody's dead, and you go to bed.
I live, right?
Yeah,
it's Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I'm owned by an old Chinaman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does an old Chinaman take you away at the end of your party?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a weird fantasy.
Yeah, he goes, I'll take him where he probably belongs, inside my dark dang antique shop.
It goes from gremlins to lovely bones. It's a weird fucking transition, but you know what? I support your decision.
Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah. It happens during Christmas, so it's all nice and happy.
I wear a fur suit and get taken away by an old Asian man.
Sure.
Yeah, right, sure.
That's a birthday party, man.
I think that's also the plot to I Knew My First Name Was Steven. I think. Ever seen that made for TV?
It's real life, true story. Yeah. That is a very good,
Google that, guys. That'll make you feel good.
Steven Dorff's first movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was a child who played
abducted. Lived an entire life with his abductor and then went back to his home when he was like 20 something.
Yeah. The tragedy of it was that he overcame that. Happily got married, and then unfortunately him and his wife died on a motorcycle accident.
Aww.
Fuck yeah.
Like that's after the movie it came out.
And then the plot of Beetlejuice after.
Yeah, so I don't know why I'm laughing. It's terrible, but that is what happened to that guy.
Just draw a door with chalk on the wall. See what they're up to.
Your life sucked, your afterlife sucks.
Guys, you're still waiting in line, right?
About you, Jess?
When I was 6 years old, I think the birthday party that I had was just like yours. It was a backyard generic party. They didn't get better for a while. I remember like the one birthday, the Transformers movie came out on VHS. Whoa. We rented it, but everybody said, well, you have to wait until we watch Top Gun. Because they rented Top Gun, and that was the movie that they wanted to watch.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. You watch Top Gun. We're done.
And then after everyone's done, and you watch Transformers movie by yourself.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what happened. But I enjoyed Top Gun, but I was still sad that I had to watch the Transformers movie. So I don't want to do a Transformers, because I don't want to replicate that experience.
Okay.
So I would have an 8-bit Nintendo party.
Straight up.
It was straight up classic 8-bit Nintendo Party where we play like classic Mario Brothers and Battletoads and Double Dragon and two-player Nintendo games, and that would be the 8-bit themed party, and then there would be the cake would be an 8-bit Nintendo cake, and then it's something that I could do now. That might like
do it.
That's probably what I'll do.
Yeah, your birthday's coming up.
My birthday is coming up, so who knows? Maybe that's what we'll do. Yeah.
Let's cut the cake with Link's sword.
Yeah, see?
What a great idea.
You're 6 years old.
I am 6 years old.
You realize this is last year's party with Mario and Luigi, but with more characters.
Well, no, so
I have all the shit, dude.
Yeah, my birthday party 2 years ago was the Mario Kart birthday party, which we had the Mario Kart cake that Lisa made, and she made cookie
plants.
Cakes. Yeah, but this will be even one step further. Will be
only 8-bit.
Only 8-bit. Only Nintendo stuff to wash away the memories
That's
of watching Transformers by myself with no friends or family.
But this time, swingers party.
We'll invite Evil in. We'll invite She-Ra from the previous engagement.
I thought we were going to watch the movie Swingers, or he was alone.
No.
We're going to watch Top Gun.
We're going to watch Swingers. Happening at the Swingers party when everyone's fucking. Jess is going to be by himself watching Swingers.
He'll be watching Transformers, the movie, sadly, by himself.
By myself. But replace Transformers, the movie, with just straight up POV Pornhub with Oculus Rift.
Vomiting.
Perfect. Where you're doing the jerk off motion to jerk yourself off in the Oculus Rift, but you're not really jerking.
I'm gonna lay to this for 5 minutes.
But you, Ryan, you're 6 years old again.
I think you know. When I was a kid, I was really into highbrow shit. Ooh. You know, I was really into, like, I wouldn't watch a TV show like the Monkees.
Right.
You gotta be kidding me. These assholes running around. I was into highbrow stuff like fucking Gilligan's Island, guys.
Right.
Yes. Okay?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's problems. Mm-hmm. We're on an island. We have to solve some stuff.
Yeah.
Talk
yeah,
to the professor. Solutions. He's smart.
Huh? Yeah.
We've got these seven characters that represent the seven deadly sins. Come on, let's think about
it's
this.
So conspiracy theories for Gilligan's?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it.
I wasn't watching like, God, there were cartoons that I was just scoff at.
Nice.
You've got to be kidding your children That's watching this. I watch highbrow things like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
There's a mystery. Things need to be done.
Yeah,
guys.
All about solving things. Yes.
I would have a Scooby-Doo party if I were six.
Okay.
I would be Scooby. My brother would be Scrappy. My five-year younger brother, he'd be one at the time, so he'd be Scrappy.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to do much. He would pretend to fight something and then not. And then get snatched away.
Yeah.
You know,
got it.
Totally easy for him.
Yeah. Boom.
And then we would have like a murder mystery.
Yeah.
As is easy to set up. And then at the end, we would pull the mask off of whoever the villain was. It turns out, it's Old Man Stout. It would be my dad.
Yeah.
It was Old Man Stout the whole time who put this shit together.
He's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New direction.
He's
been sick at this party the whole time.
That would have came if it wasn't for your miserable little kids.
Oh, Jess, come on.
And your terrible little dog, too.
Do you remember what your theme or what your birthday was?
When I was a kid, there were very few birthday parties.
Right.
We just didn't do it. Yeah. And I seem to have the feeling that even as a kid, I was like, it's a hassle.
We're good.
I think there were self-esteem issues involved. Like, seems like a lot of work just for me. Look, if there's a cake,
yeah,
fine.
Exactly. There you go.
Actually, you know what? I don't even like the sugar. Let's just order some pizzas and we'll call it a night.
Right.
I'm going to watch Transformers alone. You guys go to bed.
You guys go ahead.
I'm busy. I got shit to do.
But it was to avoid no one showing up to your party?
I don't think it was that. I think it was the idea that I would look at all the work that my parents would have to put in. I'd be like, guys, it's really not necessary.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, even to this day, like, you think about Christmas and the Stout household.
Yeah.
Like, this year there wasn't even a tree up.
Oh,
you know, it's just like, and my mom is even like, should I put stuff out? I was like, well, if you wanna. But there are downsides to that too, because you don't remember like this Christmas or that Christmas what I got that year. Like, we don't even do presents. Like, it's just such a like non-holiday. Yeah, we get together, we have dinner, we talk about shit, we hang out. But for the most part, are we really doing this, guys? Are we really celebrating this holiday? We don't go to church.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
At least one of us doesn't believe in this shit. I still don't know about the rest of you because you don't really share emotionally. But okay.
Okay. Do we want to talk about this at least?
No, let's watch Top Gun.
Let's watch Top Gun on Jesus' birthday and have Jesus watch Transformers by himself.
That's all too familiar. Yeah, it was a year ago. I was like, oh, this is a lovely Christmas. I spent majority of it talking with my mom about how much she enjoyed Under the Dome.
Stephen King?
Yeah. And she's like, it's great. She talked about it for a good half hour. That was great. And she's, oh, you got to see this scene. And then showed me like the first 5 minutes of this.
That's couch. Christmas.
Yeah, that was Christmas. A
God,
great Christmas.
You should have recorded that. That's a hell of a podcast.
I'd Oculus riff that shit. Just having a conversation with Jess's mom? Oh, that's charming. Yeah, yeah, I'd love that.
No, if I know my mom has seen a movie, I will record the conversation. Oh, yeah. So what did you think?
Oh, that's
so what do you
I
think of that?
So
I had
bad.
One for years ago. She had just seen The Hangover. And she was like, oh, I liked that. That was funny as shit. That was fun. I didn't like that part at the end, though, with the, you know, the photos with the dick, the sucking the dick. That was disgusting.
It's sick.
One still photo at the end of the film. Nah, that's fucked. I heard Lindsay Lohan was up for that part that Heather Graham did, and she turned it down, that dumb bitch. Now it's a huge hit. Fuck you. All right, Mom. What? Vindictive. Vindictive against this young girl for no reason at all.
I got my reasons, goddammit. Yeah, yeah.
You're in your 60s. You don't have to hate Lindsay Lohan. There's no reason.
You didn't know she's hated. Greg Forrest says an Allman Brothers.
Okay, here we go. Allman Brothers birthday.
I don't know. See, that's what I don't know. Play that song Jessica for like a good 2 hours straight.
Does he explain it all, or did he just post that and he's like, look, dude.
Allman Brothers.
All I gotta say, drops the mic.
It's my fantasy.
I love it.
Alfred Perez says, dinosaurs, dude. I still have Dino, my giant plush brontosaurus I got when I was 6. Right. Dinosaurs. Wow,
dinosaurs.
Why couldn't Gunner just want dinosaurs, you know?
Because it's fucking easy.
Time out. What were those toys as kids? They were dinosaurs, but they ended up having, like, weapons on them.
Oh.
Do you remember those?
Yep, yeah, I don't remember the name of those, though, for sure.
Oh, I had, like, a pterodactyl with a button on the back, and it would flap its wings, but then you had, like, armor you could put on it, and he would, like, fire missiles.
Yeah.
And
yes.
He had this weird thing that would go over his face that looked like kind of a mask, but it was just a like army.
I remember that, but I don't even remember what they were called.
Like, I wanted the
Dino
T-Rex.
Riders?
Probably.
Maybe.
Let's see the image.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
what it was.
Had a little dude that came with them, and then you play. Everyone had the little dude.
Yeah, but you lose the dude. You don't care about the dude. You play with the dinosaur.
But that's proof that the world's 5,000 years old.
Mechanical dinosaurs, right. I always wanted the T-Rex, but it was expensive, so I never got it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, those are it.
There it is, Dino Riders.
Dinosaur toy weapon,
80s. That's what you looked up.
It's a good Google search right there.
And I got it.
Yeah, you still got it.
Thank you, Internet.
Yeah.
Gabriel Diaz says, my parents ended theme parties quick before I was 6, but ideally I'd probably have a Pokemon theme or Power Rangers.
I like
Young
it.
Bastard. Andrew Thomas says, if I turned 6 this year, it would be a Doctor Strange theme party. Fake pedo stashes and frilly capes for everyone.
That's a 6-year-old party like a pedo stash.
Travis K says, if I'm six in the present, it would be Zootopia themed because I love Flash the Sloth.
I guess we should
the Sloth, right?
My
actual party when I was 6 was more along the lines of, hey, you're not dead themed because I had, I just finished my chemo treatments.
Yeah, thanks, boo, Travis.
Boo.
That's a good party. Hey, you're not dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boo, chemo theme party. Boo. Yeah. You have no hair and you're thin. Boo.
That's every birthday, though, right? Is a hey, you're not dead party.
It's celebrating that you didn't die this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm going
to
search
for really for your parents. We're not going to jail.
You survived another year.
We're still responsible for you. Let's keep this streak going.
We did it. Shaggy from Puto Slam says, I spent every birthday until I was a teen at the beach. No balloons, no themes, no costumes, just some tasty waves and sand-covered cake, and I was fine.
Tasty waves.
Tasty waves.
Of course he'd say tasty waves.
Stripper name.
Monique Martin says, I'm pretty sure it was Rainbow Bright, which explains so much, really. Rachel Norberg says, water balloons. The best way to spend a summer birthday. I'm totally doing that this year anyway. Yes, well, Rachel, do a water balloon birthday. Balloon you don't birthday. Have to be
get
six.
Actual water balloons.
That's everybody awesome. Who was born in January is listening going, fuck you guys.
Yeah, but y'all
water
had
balloon
fucking...
birthday in Minneapolis?
No, everybody whose birthday is January is like, we didn't get anything because Christmas was right there, so they probably doubled up.
Everyone's birthday in January had school birthdays where your mom came with cupcakes, so fuck you. I had a summer birthday and didn't get shit.
Great point. Yeah, people would show up. Their parents had pizzas or something like that.
And it was
super
easy to have a party with your friends from school because you just gave them invitations at class.
Yeah,
when you're at summer, it's just you and your fucking parents.
Wow, good point. Yeah, I never even thought about
sense.
That.
Summer baby.
Nice. Marvin Lanier says, knowing what I know now, if I were six, I would totally have a Rick and Morty themed party. But when I was six, I think I just had a party in the park. Judson Cooper says, probably a neighborhood-wide game of capture the flag with Nerf guns. Last man standing got the first slice of cake. I'll take that.
Yeah.
James Wells says, Chuck E. Cheese with the animatronic robot horror rodent band.
Yeah, it was
pretty chill until the bassist spouted little sparks and the speaker inside started playing low distorted audio. Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese.
Showbiz pizza.
All rich.
a couple of times.
But see, that's the last time you were there at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Recently. Very recently for me.
You've seen children there. I went to my nephew's birthday party there, and I walked in. I just looked around. I was like, oh, I know everything's sticky.
Yeah.
Everything is sticky. Why would I ever want to be here as a kid? I OCD'd out real bad.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I'm not touching anything. Least of all that crummy rat.
Yeah, it's a fucking rat. It's not even a mouse like Mickey Mouse.
It's a rat with a rat tail. Like he's just a rat.
The worst.
He's got a backwards ball cap and just hip sunglasses.
Couple things about Chuck E. Cheese. One, it's training for Vegas for kids because it's just fucking Las Vegas. Right? And two,
gamble these tokens.
Yeah. And two, why are the urinals so fucking high when you know all you have is children?
I've never been in the urinals apparently.
Yeah.
They do serve beer though, right?
No, that's Peter Piper's.
Oh, okay.
I think Chuck E. Cheese might have gotten in the beer game recently.
Well, then.
Very recently.
Well, I'll be in your house, Carlos.
At least in California.
Okay, maybe.
But I don't know.
It had to hit Texas.
But that's why a lot of my memories for me were Peter Piper birthday parties because it was beer for the parents. Let those little monsters go wreak havoc that we're not responsible for. These machines taking care of our kids.
And those plastic balls just full of germs.
Mm-hmm.
Ball pit.
Yeah.
Carlos Castro says simply, Lord of the Flies.
We kill the fat kids.
Yeah.
Piggy dies and the party's over.
And let's say the kids are saved by Mo. That's my favorite line in The Simpsons.
Susie Hamilton says, if I was six now, I'd go for unicorns or mermaids. I found some photos from my actual sixth or seventh birthday, and it was apparently Ghostbusters cartoon themed.
Which makes
no sense because I'm terrified of Ghostbusters. I couldn't have asked for that.
I'm terrified of Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Not I'm terrified of ghosts.
No, of
I'm terrified of Ghostbusters.
Maybe terrified of the real Ghostbusters.
The cartoon. Ghostbusters cartoon theme. So it's
no, but like she's terrified of Ghostbusters in the sense the that movie the movie's scary as a child because it's... If you see it, you're like, that movie could potentially scare you.
You could be scared of fucking the actual Ghostbusters. It's kind of, they're kind of.
I remember Ghostbusters 2 scared.
Sure, yeah, no, I'm not downplaying that.
I've seen Dan Aykroyd get a blowjob from an apparition.
Yeah, that was usually cut out from the TV version every time I watched it.
It was almost always cut out, yeah.
Yeah, for me.
Do you have HBO or something?
Yep, VHS tape.
VHS tape.
Yeah, the weirdo.
And finally, Jenny Matisek says, Harry Potter themed birthday, please, with robes and wands and everything.
A whole Hogwarts
explosion. So Gunner's gonna be Sonic this year. Got Sonic boom plates that people are gonna throw away. Got invitations that people are gonna throw away. Table cover that probably end up getting thrown away.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Still kill the fat kid.
Yeah,
I think that's what we should keep from all of this. Just slaughter the fat kid.
Slaughter the fat kid, pass the conch, and throw some live animals at my son. And so next year, you know what, Gunner? Maybe your theme could be, I don't know,
dinosaurs.
Moby Dick.
It's going to be stuff that's like not like just at the cusp of not being popular anymore. Yeah. So like maybe like a Hunger Games.
He's like, I want a Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Sweet, that was 5 years ago. Daddy, I want a B movie.
I'm a Monsters versus Aliens party.
Shit. And I go on eBay and buy vintage Monsters vs. Aliens from a Stephen Colbert fan page. So, yeah, guys, if you all have kids, you know, fucking give them what they want or don't. Fuck it.
They're going to turn out one way or another.
All right, now it's time for my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about stuff that's not funny. And today we're talking about a publication from the Arizona State University research that's titled Moms, You Think Babies Are Tough? Wait Until Middle School. So this is a...
what a big jump.
Yeah. So the study says many assume that most taxing years of mothers are during their children's infancies, but the new research shows that far more challenging is the middle school period. They researched studied 2,200 mostly well-educated mothers with children and examined.
Mostly.
Yeah, exactly. And examined multiple aspects of the mother's personal well-being, parenting, and perceptions. I just want to jump to this one story that they said about the mom chimes in about talking to her son.
the article's called Your Kid's Not a Piece of Shit Yet.
Not yet.
But wait.
Anyway, she's talking about how she's a doctor. They were interviewing a doctor who was telling her son how Advil works, but her middle school age son was going like, no, mom, that's not how it works. Like, and she's like, no, I'm a doctor. And he was like, no, that's not how it works. And and she was like, it's so incredibly frustrating for this, you know, 12-year-old kid to think that he's right when you're a doctor and not listen to you. So it just leads me to my question, which is, you know, I guess the reason why I came up with this question is because it's called, you know, you think babies are tough, wait until middle school. My question was, at what age were you the worst person you've ever been? And my answer is when I was in middle school. I would say around 11 years old, 8th grade, I was a horrible human being. I was evil. I was smart. I was bad.
You were 11 in 8th grade?
12, maybe. Okay. 12.
Wow. You skipped grade, right?
Yeah, I started early. Okay. I started early. And I was evil. I was the smart kid who got good grades so that I couldn't get in trouble. Like, my grades were good, so it was hard for, like,
nobody who was an adult could reconcile the fact that, no, he can't be the one.
No, yeah, exactly. And I was smart. I was really evil about it. Like, I knew how to get away with things. I knew how to just slowly torture teachers in really weird psychological ways. That was really bad. Like, I brought this up before, my eighth grade algebra teacher, Mrs. Qualls, or Miss Qualls, she was a young teacher. I made her cry in class after just repeatedly ruining things days while her back was turned, slowly just water torture sort of her over days and days. And she cried one day in class and I was just like totally happy about it.
Wow.
And, yeah. And I wish I could go back there and kick myself in the face because I did that with my science teacher as well. I just made their lives horrible. And like I said, the thing is,
and they didn't know it was you.
No, they never.
It was very passive aggressive.
They never knew what I was doing. I would mess things up while they weren't looking, or before class, after class, or they'd have to like reset things and change things. And
did your classmates fucking hate you?
You know, now looking back, it was sort of the like, oh, all right, good job. Like,
who
likes their algebra teacher? You know, like,
I did.
Who wants to like? Oh, you're that kid, huh?
Yeah, I liked math. Sorry. And I apologize. I'm sorry I liked math in middle school. I was privileged to have algebra. I was in this low-income schooling. They just added algebra to the curriculum, and I was smart enough to make it into that class.
And hey, miss, why are there letters in my math?
That's fucking what happened. That is the truth. That's not even... I'm like, that's a real thing. That is a real fucking thing.
That's so horrible. I feel super bad now working in a high school.
Right. Well, time out. Why do you think you were like that?
I have no idea. That's the worst part. I would like to think I'm a good person.
You learned to be.
I was raised right. My parents are fantastic. I know right from wrong. It was maybe a pushing boundaries thing. Maybe it was just kind of
your rebellion.
You know, seeing what I can get away from, get away with.
Yeah, I mean, it's your version of no. That's not how aspirin works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's not how it works. Isn't how school works.
I was like, I'll show you.
You're just going to fuck this shit up.
I'll show you. I'll show you what
you think
capable.
You're so smart as adults, so you're going to do all these things. Well, guess what? I'm just going to pull the little Jenga tile just out
little,
of this.
Little one at a time.
And it's all going to fall apart.
Oh. You were probably like, I'm not even trying. I'm younger than everybody. Yeah. And I'm like the smartest.
Yeah,
kid.
Exactly. When my freshman year, I was in a geometry class with all like sophomores and juniors. But that was humbling because, see, that's the other thing. I was eighth grade. So you're at the top. You're the top of the food chain in middle school. Right. Where then, even though I was smart in high school, you're with like juniors or sophomores, and you're like, oh, right. Okay, I can't say, I can't do it. They will beat me up.
Right.
So it was also that top of the food chain thing. Of being an eighth grader and being like, yeah,
oh, that's interesting. It's weird that you went to that you're like, I was at the top, so I felt powerful, yeah. So I should do this. And I was thinking, oh, you felt powerless in life, so you decided to take it back in all these ways.
Sign of a true a-hole.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And I will say yes, because looking back, like, holy crap. And like I said, it never came back. That kind of, my senior year, I guess. Yeah, I did. Once again, top of the food chain.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a jerk to my biotech teacher. Anyway, but not nearly as bad as I was in eighth grade. Holy God, I was horrible. That's when I was the worst human I've ever been.
So worst human I've ever been in every aspect of it. I was 15 years old.
Oh, okay.
I was a sophomore in high school, and it was my second and last year at a college preparatory ex-seminary. So everyone there was either super like preppy and had rich parents and stuff, or they were juvenile delinquents that were sent there like a boarding school. So there wasn't really a middle like me who was low income but wasn't like a bad kid. And it was the first, you know, my freshman year, I tried to, you know, do the preppy thing. I was young, you know, I didn't want to, you know, really tell people I was in a middle or anything like that or what I actually liked. I tried to fit in. I tried to date the yuppie girls and stuff like that. And I ended up dating this hardcore chola chick and who was like, you know, I can relate to you. And
it's your roots, bro.
Yeah. And so then sophomore year comes. I didn't adjust. I didn't fit in. All my friends were druggies. You know, my mom was getting really sick where she had quit work and it was just me and her. So there wasn't really any help. You know, just literally we were by ourselves. And then I'm seeing all the parents and that were like booster club and all that sort of shit. Their kids were getting kind of, oh, well, let me ask, you know, Frankie to do this because his parents do that. Let me ask. And so I felt like I wasn't getting any favoritism and all that. So I said, okay, let me hang out with the other single parent kids and start, you know, smoking weed and let me start, you know, oh, what's this do? Is it a hallucinogen? Sweet. What are these beedies? Remember those cigarettes? Like a fucking douchebag.
What's a beedie?
It's a, like a, I don't know. It's a cigarette wrapped in a tobacco leaf or something. They're like clove.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was some kind of clove.
Yeah, it's like a clove cigarette wrapped in this leaf. Like real pretentious. Yeah. Because here's the thing. Worst person in every aspect, because I was also douchey.
Yeah.
Right? And an asshole.
You wear a lot of rings?
Trying to. Yeah, I wore rings. I wore silver and gold rings. Just
damn,
to be,
son.
I was kind of throwing it out there that I liked metal, but I was like, ska's all right. You know, even though I didn't like ska, you know.
You lied about the type of music you like. Yeah. You like Dream Theater.
I was like, you know, I really dig the arpeggios. And it's like, fucking shut the fuck. Like, because, you know, you look back and almost regret it. I hated that fucking kid.
Yeah.
I had a Caesar haircut like George Clooney.
Yeah.
Wow. And from Dusk Till Dawn kind of thing.
I had a mullet.
I had a gold chain.
Nice.
You know, I was.
A silver chain.
I was two chains.
Fuck.
I used to carry this CD player boombox in my bag.
You were that kid?
Yeah. So then when I walked around.
Those kids still exist now in the high schools and they have their Bluetooth speakers that they put in their backpack and just during the classes, during the middle of classes, they'll just blare them like, why?
They're showing off their music taste as a self-identity. Because I remember it was Tool and I wanted everyone to know I was into this fucking like, you know,
of course,
prog rock band. And I was a dick to like girls. I ended up breaking up this girl that I was dating, quote unquote, cheated on me because she went to this party with this other guy. Like in hindsight, it's like she just fucking hung out with a friend. Yeah. I was like, fuck that bitch. So I ended up dating her best friend and broke up their friendship. I was a fucking asshole. And then I would pick on people.
Yeah.
And I got in a fight and this dude fucking cold cocked me. but I was picking on him, so he deserved a fucking cold cock ring, you know? And yeah, and I ended up getting kicked out. I ended up getting not invited back.
15-year-old Larry is terrible.
I got like a 40 in math just because I didn't give a fuck about it. Mm. And then I had to go to summer school. And yeah, so 15-year-old Larry, man, druggy, acid, douchey,
yeah,
fucking bad to women. Fucking badass motherfucker.
Where'd he go, man?
Yeah, man.
Where did he go?
Yeah, he had an earring.
Right? Yeah, that's hardcore Larry.
That I wore.
That's hardcore Larry.
Fuck yeah.
Is there an Oculus Rift of that? Fucking yeah, a day in the life,
yeah,
of that guy?
You put that on, you're fingering a chick at a Chick-fil-A. That's what happens, dude. Sorry, dollar movies. You finger a chick
at dollar movies.
Dollar movies,
yeah.
You're like, what do you want to see? It'll matter. Finger, finger, finger.
While you whisper, I didn't wash my hands.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Oh. My nail's a little long.
Yeah. Oh. Get used to this for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Men don't care about you.
Yeah. Welcome to HPville.
Because I have them all over my hands.
Yeah, so I was a piece of shit, man. No, and that, you know, but that was a phase that lasted like 20 years.
Yeah, so I mean,
you're getting out of it.
I am. Yeah. My earring hole's still there. So
see that
ring? Silver.
Still like Limp Bizkit. It's all good.
Fuck yeah, dude. No, I was 15 today.
Oh, okay. That hadn't happened yet.
I was like, yo, this band Korn, they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, your boom box got smaller, and you burned the warts off. So, I mean, look.
I did, yeah.
It all came together.
Warts are still there. Jess?
For me, it was well past school, because I felt I was a pretty good kid all throughout. So it actually, I would narrow it down to the age of 23.
Hmm.
And the age 23, not so much a horrible person to other people, but to myself. It was the bottom of the barrel of, like, no confidence. I was pretty much like, you know what? I've just realized I'm worthless. I suck. No one's going to like me. So I'm just going to take advantage of just every, like, aspect of being a loner / not appreciative of myself. So that meant overeating, over snacking,
just
indulge in just whatever it would be. My social output to women would be online. So this is like when like online chat was a thing. So for my kind of thing to build up my self-worth was to be in the chat rooms and to get wordly intimate with like women and then find out that they're like in their 30s, but I'm like 23, but they're in their 30s states away. And then they would get intimate, but I was having like 5 intimate conversations all at once, and they're pouring their heart out. And they're fucking, this is before, what was it called? Cybering. They're cybering, but I'm cybering with like 5
fuck yeah
different.
Did you make their
women
their windows touch? Just get the screens to kind of just like overlap each other. So it's like this chick.
And he didn't wash his hands either.
No, I didn't know of it. And it
double click that shit.
The most dangerously, like when it kind of got a little bit scary is when I was consistently communicating with this woman in New Jersey. She was 34. She sent photos, nude photos,
which
like
took
she actually
10
in there.
Minutes to download.
Forever to download. I was like, whatever, because as long as it's going to take to download this picture, I'm going to appreciate it. Right. Oh shit, here we go. And she.
It was a scanned picture.
It was a scanned picture. It was a
right.
It was a scanned picture of like of.
That sucks.
This is like a 9 megabyte file.
That took forever to get.
Yeah.
It got. But dangerously, like to me, it got really bad when I took it as far as to where this woman wanted to go from New Jersey to visit.
Yes.
And she did comprehend that I still live with my parents, but she was like willing to let me come down and I can rent a hotel. Then we could stay away and see me the whole entire time. It's like, like I was being a total shithead.
Was she chesty?
Yeah, she was everything E. Like she was, you know,
mostly horny, bro.
Mostly horny. Yeah. But I did cut
and
it off of myself.
Trustworthy.
Oh.
This dumb bitch.
This dumb bitch.
I did have the cap off where I did say, like, you know what? Like, you don't do that.
Right.
Like, it's not, like, that's not a good idea. I really did, like, say, you can't do that. Because I got scared that, oh, shit, she's going to come down. And then it became that horror story of, like, I'm in the every internet troll's like inner nightmare that they're fucking talking shit on the internet, and then that person that they're fucking with is going to show up at their doorstep and ruin their entire reality, whether it be their family or friends, and then everyone knows that you're this creep that likes to virtually fuck women from New Jersey. And so, like, in multiple states, and, like, I got, like, mailed photographs, like, pen pal style of, like, and I felt...
Fuck.
It's prison style, bro.
It is prison style, but it was bad because, but that was my only, to me, that was like, the my self-confidence was like, this is as good as it gets for me.
Validation.
This is my validation that I can actually have the communication skills, the smoothness is there where I can actually win the affection of strangers, and that's as low as it got. And then the real, like, in relationship-esque, like, people that I got down with was just subpar conditions. And, but I was like, this is as good as it gonna get. So yes, I'm going to like, I talked about like episodes ago where I was dating this girl and then her roommate was potentially like a runaway teenager. They're having this fight and she was throwing like her panties outside of the fucking, like, to me, any normal person would have been like, okay, I'm leaving, I'm going home.
Nope.
No, it was worth it for me to go through all of that comfort and talk and da-da-da-da-da and, like, be a part of that problem because I'm like, oh, this is as good as it's going to get. This is what I – this is all I'm worth right now. I would have
pickle-fisted both of them, dude. Yeah. That would have been the fucking
– So
– pickle-fist.
What?
In a jar for a while grind.
Yep.
So age 23 is like, it's not so much I was horrible. I was bad to other people, but I was mostly bad to myself because I had self-worth. I was at no confidence, no self-value in myself. It took a long time to get.
Are you friends with any of these people on Facebook now?
No, but from that era, there is a pen pal that I am friends with on Facebook. Obviously, I didn't do anything wrong to that person for them to, like, reciprocate. Hey, remember me from whatever? It was, like, an actual mutual, like, hey, like, a person you talk to on the internet, not somebody I fucking did something embarrassing with.
Hey, tits, nice ass. Yeah. Hey, Ryan,
so it's great that everybody here is like, I was a terrible person and like, I don't know, I was powerless or I was lonely and like, I had to get through this ugly thing that was happening to me. So I just did unto others.
Right.
You know, Shakespeare and Othello talked about Iago. Iago did all these terrible things. And when asked why, he was like, it doesn't matter why I did them. It just matters that I did them.
Right.
And that's all that people remember. He's a supervillain. He has no motive.
Right.
There was no reason for him to do any of it, so he's the shittiest.
Yeah.
Evil. You guys all had reasons. Mm. So let me tell you about the worst.
It was an eloquent way.
Yes. So I was living in New York City, and I just started getting into crime, I guess is what you would say. I got into crime. The first thing I did, there was this fat guy who, I mean, everybody hated this man. He was just a disgusting guy. And I broke into his house and I fed him spaghetti. And,
God damn it, I knew it.
Who's telling the story? No, it was God, weird. Dude. When you guys originally asked the question about, you know the problem with that joke? I built it up with the Iago thing first and then went to 7. I could have just gone into 7 and it would have been funny, but I wanted to make the Iago point because I thought it was relevant.
I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Only in a world this shitty.
And then there was the disease spreading whore. And I think you'll all thank me when I said, but here's the difference. I took care of my series of 7 and then I just disappeared.
Nice. Oh, good for you. Like your puzzle was completed.
Yeah.
You didn't have pride.
No, I was thinking my first instinct was I was at my worst, probably in my late 20s. Yeah. That was my instinct. Because I had made a ton of money from doing terrible television on MTV. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like, it was all garbage that I had done. Like, there was nothing artistically fulfilling about any of it.
Yeah. Right.
And the checks were enormous. Mm. Mm-hmm. So I just had money. Mm. I had nothing to do with it. I was living with a woman who was just taking advantage of me. Yeah. And I had been absolutely, I was paying the rent and I was trying to help her start her career.
Right.
So I was just being kind of used, and I don't know why I was letting myself be used. Right. I guess I was trying to give back to the universe. Cause I was like, I guess I got these big checks and I really didn't earn them.
Yeah.
Okay. I did shitty entertainment, and, I had already done a Comedy Central half hour. Mm-hmm. Now, when you start stand up, you think I want to get on the road. I want to headline. Yeah. I want to do this thing, but then there's like, you don't see the ladder above that at all.
Okay.
Like, if you're not one of these people who goes, I'm going to be a movie star.
Yeah.
You know, I was too rational to be like that.
That's right. Yeah.
So you think about this time in my life, I had done this stuff. I had money. I was headlining.
Yeah.
I had already done a Comedy Central half hour. So I'm looking at the woman who's living with me, giving me nothing, no emotional support, no really anything, while I give everything I can to her. And I have no prospects for what I want out of life. Mm-hmm. And I just started drinking.
Mm.
And so and she's drinking.
Right.
So
right.
I feel like the drinking's fine. Like I was at my worst because nothing was happening. Right. Zero was happening in my life. And I didn't have it in me to like make stuff happen.
Okay.
And then the relationship ended and I kind of fell apart and just kind of went, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm fucking doing. I don't know why I want to be doing anything. I guess I'll just get into therapy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. And it took forever to get into therapy. Like, I was clearly depressed, like not doing stuff.
I had to get a psychology degree. And
Yeah. And you know, just being at the bottom there of like, oh, really? I climbed my way up this ladder to be at the bottom.
Hmm.
Fuck.
Ooh.
I've clearly done things terribly wrong. I'm alone. I'm drunk. Ugh. I've got money to spend, but nothing to spend it on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll just sit on it because I'm not working. Right. So then I wasn't working. And so the money gradually depleted. Right. And then it was like, okay, well, fuck, now I'm broke. Now I'm broke and single. I'm still kind of doing comedy places, but people are getting tired of me. They're like, yeah, we had him here at our club once or twice. He didn't draw. Well, but we're going to give him some time off. And it was like, how do you pull out of that?
Ooh, right.
How do you pull out of that?
Right.
And I don't know. I had a therapist card. And so it took 6 months to call. And then eventually I started going. And then I started like trying to figure out, what do I want? What do I want to do? What do I want to achieve? Maybe you just do stuff. Maybe just do stuff.
Keep yourself busy.
Maybe that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe go to the gym. Maybe get up before noon. Maybe like do stuff. Yeah. Maybe just try to be a person. And so, yeah, I mean.
You're like, that's a good idea.
You eventually kind of pull out of it. But that was definitely like when people talk about depression, they talk about feeling bad. And I'm like, no. Depression's feeling nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have anything going on. And you don't have anybody around you to be like, hey, man, get it together.
Right.
Yeah, so that was my instinct. Like, that was the worst time. But then from there, I immediately went to middle school, and I was like, oh, come on. You were competitive. You played basketball all the time. But you were smaller than other people. And by the way, your body odor, you probably stunk, but you didn't know it because you can't smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have a sense of smell as a kid.
Yeah.
And I wore the same fucking basketball shorts to school constantly. I had no real sense of fashion. I had terrible haircuts from getting $9 haircuts.
Yeah.
So I smelled. I had terrible haircuts. You know, girls weren't interested in me because I was younger than everybody, so thus smaller than everybody. And then just talk shit on the basketball court. And just, I was in the band, but I hated being in the band, hated everything about it. So if you didn't bring your instrument, or if you, you know, forgot your music, or you did anything wrong you did in the band, they were like, okay, I guess you're going to write sentences. So you just take out a sheet of paper and just write the same. I will not forget my sheet music when I come to class. I will not forget my sheet music when I, and you know what I would do in my other classes? I would just write sentences for band. That way I could go to band, turn them in, and sit there with my arms folded.
Brilliant.
And be like, here's your fucking 40 sentences.
I love it.
Enjoy it.
And they'd be like,
oh, how's that?
Fuck.
But I think that middle school shit is all being like, you're a kid, you don't understand your own emotions, let alone somebody else's.
Yeah, that's it.
And you hate that feeling of not understanding. I don't understand how I feel, so I'm just gonna fuck with everybody else's feelings.
That's, you know, going back to the sentences thing, that's very Sonny Corleone. That's breaking a camera and immediately paying for it. Yeah. That's just like dropping the sentences, I didn't bring my instrument on purpose, and then sitting down and staring at that. Yeah. That's hardcore.
Here's my consequences. They're in your head.
Already done for you.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing I've ever heard of.
I'd rather stare at you while you're fat and try to work. Go ahead and conduct and break a sweat. Fuck you.
I'm going to sit here and smell like balls.
Yeah.
And I don't have to suffer for it. Y'all do. Y'all have to suffer for it.
Golly. I didn't do it. Yeah. And I've known since we've met that you don't have the sense of smell. And, and I talk about it, you know, it always comes up. And I'm like, my friend Ryan, he doesn't have the sense of smell. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's a thing. It's you don't think about it until you can't. When people complain about, oh, I have a cold and I can't smell. It's like, imagine just and it's never, right? You've never been able to smell?
Never.
Yeah. And I say, that's a fucking thing. And I didn't even think about puberty.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My dad leaned over me. I'm doing algebra homework. I don't understand. He leans in. He leans right back out. He was like, "You stink."
And that's what he said. No idea.
And my face just dropped. Like, oh. I probably smelled like this all day.
Yeah. Oh, Ryan, I'm sorry.
I never heard from anybody that I was the smelly
kid. Because they're polite.
Yeah. I mean, that's the weird thing, too. Nobody's polite enough to be. You know the comedian Kevin Shea? Do you know who Kevin Shea is? Uh-huh. Like, Kevin's been my buddy since San Francisco. Uh-huh. And he's one of those guys who'll be like, oh, here's gum. Your breath stinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he'll just do stuff like that. Like, you'd think that you would run into those people as a teenager, especially if other teenagers are trying to be mean. Like, if a kid's trying to break you, they would break you with that. You're the smelly kid. Fucking deal with it. So then I was thinking, maybe I wasn't the smelly kid.
No one would tease someone else about something that they're self-conscious about.
See, that's the weird. I just talked about this with my coworker. She had a friend growing up that they called piojos, which is
lice.
And like she said, it was like visible in her hair, like in like elementary. Which she was like, well, this is the parents' fault. It's flat out neglect. Like they never took care of it. And like she was known for that, like throughout middle school and high school.
They called her Ant Farm.
They called her Piojos. Like that was her name. And I was like, ugh. But that never carried for you. Like no one ever. You kind of escaped that kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if people were talking behind my back about it, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But you would. I mean, I was kind of a brash kid. So I made some enemies.
Yeah.
I made some enemies. I was younger than everybody else. So who doesn't want to pick on the little kid?
Yeah.
You know, I was 4'11" when I started ninth grade.
Wow.
Because I was younger than everybody. Yeah, I was smaller, but still.
Yeah, both of you guys like skip ahead, right?
But for some reason,
I started early. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like the biggest kid in my fifth grade class for some reason. I don't know why.
But the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, by the time I was a junior, I was way taller than a lot of people.
That's wow. So you grew a ton then.
Huh? I grew a ton.
Nice.
I was also surrounded by, you know, small Mexican men.
Oh, sweet.
So
El Paso. Beautiful.
Their average height was not what my average height was ever going to be.
So you're dunking on fools in junior high? Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, you probably stunk, but they probably fucking stunk too.
Didn't stink because I had a body odor problem, I played so much basketball. It was just sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just the way a person would smell if they were an athlete all day.
Just a little sour, a little ripe.
Fuck.
Yeah. All right, Facebook answers. Greg Forrest says, early 20s by far, college and the workforce civilized me. Alfred Press says, it was an epoch of my life, the late teens to age 23. I call the crazy Christian days. I cannot stand the fact that that was me, but I got older, wiser, mellower. I tasted life here and now to everyone that I ever pointed fingers at. Oh.
Yeah, I remember.
And what have you. I'm truly sorry, and honestly, life gave me what I deserved, honestly. So he was very conservative Christian.
Yeah, what does that tell you that was the – he admits that that's when he was at his worst.
Because judgmental. He was a very judge.
Good for you, Freddy.
Interesting. Samantha Lines-Reek says, I think I've gotten progressively more horrible with age or just less concerned with hiding it.
Yeah.
So not giving a goddamn anymore. Gabriel Diaz says, I mentioned this in a previous episode, but I have a journal cataloging some diabolical crap that I did in second grade, but overall it was pretty bad from second to fourth grade. I was the hyper kid with no friends, and of course I acted up. Yeah.
And then there was the blood-sucking lawyer.
Yes.
Who took care of him.
Yes. You've all must have been secretly thanking me for that one.
They're going to quote 7.
Zachary Fortes Gom says, I was 16. I was a sassy, bitchy queen in high school. Mm. Looking back, I would have slapped the crap out of me. Suffice it to say, I've calmed down since then. Yeah. Would we all hit ourselves? Or, like, that's me. I would kick. Oh, man. I'd kick 8th grade me in the chest so hard. Just really bad.
Yeah, I had a mouth, but I was never. I don't think I was ever a problem.
I would push myself in the face for being a dick to people, but I'd high five myself for all the finger blasting.
Oh, God. Jeez.
I'd be like, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like pickle finger? What was it?
Yeah, pickle
fisting. Pickle fisting. Yeah. I'm pretty consistent. I would tell late 20s me, like, dude, you're depressed. You don't feel anything.
Yeah.
You should work on that. And I would tell, like, teenage me, like, you're confused about your feelings, and that's going to continue until you're 28. get that shit together. And then you watch me do stand-up comedy. It's all about thinking versus feeling.
Yeah.
It's been a problem my whole life. Yeah, there's a theme in my life.
Andrew Thomas says, I'm a work in progress.
Yep. There you go.
Travis K says, when I was 23, I was at my worst. I was in a relationship with a terrible person. I was defiant and became the type of person that I never thought I'd become. People hated what I'd become just as much as I hated myself until I hit rock bottom and decided to make a change. I'm still not the greatest person, but I'm always finding ways to better myself.
Way to go. Work that chisel.
Claudio Rubio says, there's a cutoff age. I've always been consistently difficult.
Mm-hmm. All right.
At least you know. SD Shimi says, I think 14 to 20. That's a broad age.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All of
six years of fuck you.
And how old is she? 22. Okay. You're not reflecting a lot, I don't think.
Justin Cooper says, I was a real dick when I was 16 and 19, just like any other defiant teen. Right. I'm not saying I'm any better now, but I'm far more considerate and honest than back then.
16 and 19? I was cool as fuck.
Yeah.
I was 15, right. Piece of shit. And then I realized I'm a piece of shit. Fucking mellowed out.
Well, you got all that finger blasting out of your system.
No. Now it was slow. Nice.
It was fingering.
Yeah. Okay. Finger loving.
Okay, there it is.
There's a plethora of this. I don't have to rush through.
Exactly. Let me feel around.
I'll always get a little more.
I still don't know what I'm doing, but let me take my time. Yeah.
I'm open to learning.
Yeah. James Wells says, 4 years old. I wanted something that my mom wouldn't give me at a younger brother's birthday party, so I hit her in the stomach.
No.
I was carrying my third trimester unborn brother and ran away. 100% garbage person.
Yeah.
At 4.
Yeah. Who was that?
James Wells.
Shit.
Pushed his pregnant mom in the stomach.
Was it the bad seed?
Yeah, right? That's why you put the picture of, what do you call it?
It's like a problem child?
Problem child. Yeah. Carlos Castro says I was the worst person/boyfriend when I was 17, 18. I was inconsiderate, selfish, and really good looking. I was always making my girlfriend cry. If I'd go back, I would do it a lot less heartbreaking and a lot more brass knuckling.
Yeah. No, don't come on. Don't let
that
be
another
a thing.
Term Larry came up
don't,
with.
God,
when
listeners.
She comes when you finger her and she gives you brass knuckles.
No.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
No, pickle fisting.
Listeners, pick up pickle fisting. Don't let brass knuckling become a thing.
Larry, come on. And Jenny Matisek says, I don't think I was horrible when I was younger. Maybe when I was 8 and cut off my bangs in the middle of class. That was only because they were too long.
That's not bad. Yeah, if that's the worst thing you've ever done, Jenny, you're all right.
Yeah, exactly.
You harmed yourself? the worst thing I did, I was self-harm, and it grew back.
Yeah, right? I cut my hair.
You ruined a pair of safety scissors. That's the worst I've got
out
of it.
You cocky motherfucker. That's the worst.
Right?
I'm a great person.
So, yeah. People being the worst people they've been. That is not funny.
Not at all. Not whatsoever.
All right, Ryan, this is the third time that you've been on our podcast, and we can't thank you enough, especially since it's our fourth anniversary.
Yeah.
So, as you know, this is an educational program. So
everything I do is educational.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you have the chance to catch Ryan Stout, and, you know, guys, wherever you're at, our Canadian listeners, our listeners in other states, you can catch Ryan all over the country and beyond.
So definitely check it out. If you check him out, if you see the name Ryan Stout in a city near you. But we like to ask ourselves and our guests, what did we come to know? On this episode, what made you come to learn something about the world, yourself, just life in general? So we'll start with Jess. You ponder that for a second. And Jess, today, what did you come to know?
I've come to know that as the worst job potentially a child could have would be as a model for video game themed. Video game themed costumes, but on the lower tier. What's the worst work you can do as a child? Maybe, because that lasts forever. Ooh. Like that kid.
Yeah,
like
we'll he's always be
and a
son.
Game from 25 years ago.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That he posed for 2 years ago.
Right, exactly.
Not even the relevant games.
Yeah. No.
You're not a Skylanders kid. You're a fucking Sonic.
It's like Ratchet and Clank coming out straight to DVD this year.
Yeah.
What the fuck,
kid?
Yeah. You're not doing fucking Candy Crush. You're doing Toe Jam and Earl. Get in the fucking costume.
Don't smile.
Your name is Toe Jam.
Put on these cop boots.
That's the worst.
Why can't he wear running shoes?
No, he doesn't get red shoes. He's got to wear those Doc Martens. So, yeah, there you go. They're the worst job occupation for a child.
What I came to know, seriously, and this is just what I think you obviously would know better, is that a person is anosmia? Is that what it's?
Anosmia.
Anosmia. Yeah. Probably suffers the most during puberty. That just completely unaware. And God damn it, Ryan, I'm so sorry. I sincerely pity that point in your life with that disability, man. God bless you.
It didn't feel bad for me. Didn't feel bad for me.
And you know what?
It's just looking back and worrying what other people thought. And then I'm like, yeah, all those people are dead.
Working in Napa.
Makes
things easier. So, yeah, growing up in El Paso, stinking like Juarez, having no fucking clue about it. God damn it. And you know what? Nowadays, Axe body spray would have covered it up, and you wouldn't have given a fuck what scent you bought, whatever's cheap.
I wouldn't have bought any of it.
You just would have
Because I would have been like, yeah, well, I'm going to put too much of this on, and then people are going to think that I smell funny.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, good point.
Fucking A.
Double-edged sword.
That you're the fucking Sonny Corleone of band students. Those are two things that I learned today.
I was only in the band for 6th grade and 7th grade, then we got the hell out.
Yeah.
I was like, what are we doing this for?
Hey, Sonny's just in a movie for the first two acts.
What were you playing, by the way? What was your instrument?
Well, I didn't like it, so I kept switching around. I played the tenor sax. I played the baritone sax. I played the tuba because they were like, we need a tuba player. And by the way, we've got the tuba. You don't have to take it home and bring it back. We've just got it. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. I played the flute for 2 days because I was like, dude, I don't give a shit about any of this.
Good for you.
Nobody in my gene pool plays an instrument. Why would I do this?
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Good call.
Very good call.
I came to know once again how we talk about this many times on the show as far as growing up with the internet porn and how we didn't have that growing up and how it was hard to we had to engineer our porn growing up. We had to figure out ways of getting nude women to look at. It's also interesting to think about how kids these days. Not even kids, but like people these days that are sending like naked pictures to each other via Snapchat or on their phones. Think about it, Jess, maybe like the late 90s.
I had two options. Wait 2 hours for a 9 megabyte picture, or go to the adult video store
a personal naked picture from someone back in the day. It's not getting it through the mail. Or that was an option of like jail style, but then that sort of mid-range where, I can scan a picture now or take a digital picture and then email it to you or like
it was emailed.
And it's this long process Snapchat. Like, here's my
dick. And then you came to the text that said, capital A.
Simpler time.
I'm thinking about how kids these days got it easier for that too.
Yeah.
For a while now.
Yeah.
They can just Jetson fuck.
Just FaceTiming.
Yeah.
What about you?
Sorry.
No. It was words. It was words. Words with adult friends.
Typed out words on a computer screen.
Yeah.
Ryan.
So I'm thinking about this. What I came to know, I was thinking about Hardcore Henry, about the POV, about that's not him, that's you, mm-hmm. that's us. And I was thinking about Iron Man, and we watch Iron Man, and it's great. It's really cool to be Iron Man. We want to be that hero. We want to be Batman. We want to be Superman. We want to be everybody except the Hulk. Because even though everybody has a terrible backstory, the Hulk is constantly still struggling.
Yep.
And he doesn't like it. Mm-mm. He doesn't like it.
No.
Batman goes, well, that was the past, but I'm going to move forward and I'm going to be proactive and avenge. The Hulk is still dealing with it. And I think that's why every Hulk movie fails. Because we're sitting here going, no, I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the person that can't control themselves and turns into a big green monster. Fuck that.
Oh, wow.
Fuck this whole premise.
This is not enjoyable.
People leave saying, oh, I could just put on the suit and I'll be Iron Man. Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, I just rip all my clothing now and then? I have to go into hiding?
I'm freaking out.
He couldn't even make love to his wife or his girlfriend because he has to keep his fucking blood pressure down.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a pain in the ass.
They made that backstory too deep. His downside is too ugly and people don't like it.
That's when She-Hulk gets introduced.
If only he could just fucking get bit by a spider. That's a backstory.
Yeah. She-Hulk's a lawyer. She's in the law. She knows the law.
Pickle-fisted by fucking Bruce Banner.
Well, even Spider-Man, it's like, how do I balance this power and this responsibility with regular life? You sit there and go, I think I could do it. Maybe I'll figure it out. Yeah. I could probably.
If I was a teenager, I had superpowers.
Yeah. But so the Hulk, cool. It's you don't control it.
You're like, I don't know what happens when I black out.
And your alter ego is a nerdy fuck.
Yeah.
And you're not even cool.
Socially awkward.
Yeah. And then you turn into this monster that everyone hates. And then back into this nerd that nobody likes.
So I think that's what I've learned. Don't have a protagonist that no one wants to be.
See, and Hulk's my favorite comic book character.
Okay, Skeletor. We got it.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I think that just proves that I just hate myself. I think, subconsciously.
Yeah. And then I took your wife's pretty head.
Way to wrap it up. And scene. That was perfect.
Well,
we call that episode that, and then I take your wife's pretty head.
And then I take your wife's pretty head, and I become Raph. Right? My size! So, Ryan, thank you. Where can people follow you on Facebook, online, all that good stuff?
We talked about Facebook, I think, off mic about how that 6% garbage. So I've got a page on there that has thousands of people, but nobody sees what I post because Facebook filters it out.
Yes,
it so don't go there. Fuck that place.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/RyanStout. Don't go there. Twitter.com/StoutRyan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everything else is Ryan Stout. YouTube, definitely. I always had a goal. I just, in my head, I was like, I'd like 1 million views on YouTube. Sure. That would be a cool thing. We're sitting at about 500,000 right now.
Sweet.
You know, we're on our way. And then I went, anybody could get 1 million. I could show my dick and get 1 million. 10 million. I want 10 million views, everybody.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be tomorrow.
No.
Over time, though, that's I'd like point. It to build up.
Eventually,
so that means everybody has to do their part. Go give a click. Some of the videos are short, 30 seconds. You can watch 30 seconds, get a funny joke, laugh, and go, all right, we're done. We helped out.
And then share it so other people can click on it.
Yeah. There's some good stuff on there. I have one clip where I talk about suicide for 30 minutes. So if you want to see that comedy, I still only get one click. But you get more.
Yeah.
So you can get a lot for your click or a little for your click.
Gotcha.
You can do whatever you want.
Get multiple clicks. Open multiple YouTube windows. Have them touch.
Have them touch.
Have them touch.
Turn on the mute. Walk away. Just let them all play. Come on. Develop a play. Help out. 10 million's a lot, everybody. I'm a long way away.
We need you.
RyanStout.com.
And Jess, what do we have going on?
Well, thanks for listening to us at oneofus.net. We highly appreciate it, guys. And if you like this show and you want to hear older stuff, go to comediaagogo.com. You can find us on Facebook @comediaagogo. Our Facebook public access page is no more. We just consolidated everything. Our movie, our podcast, we consolidated everything to Comedia Agogo on Facebook, so you get it all one place. But you could still go to the public access Happy Campers Facebook page and answer the questions like our other listeners, which we highly enjoy reading off your answers and becoming to know you guys over the time. And we love you all. Highly appreciate it. And we have some show news coming up.
That's right, guys. April 13th through the 17th, we are going to be headlining the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. So April 13th, we're going to have our March of Dimes fundraiser featuring Cleta Rodriguez, Jay White, Cotton, Javi Luna, and our own public access alumni, Aaron Cheatham. Guys, so go check it out for a good cause. April 14th, Larry and Regan headline that show featuring Larry Garza, hosted by Regan Arevalo. Yeah. So that is just a full-on two-man show. Every act is different. And then the 15th and 16th, make sure you catch our sketch show, Comedia Gogo's Night in Pinche SA, if you are anti-fiesta or you're not from Texas or San Antonio.
Are come you just in like town, watching funny shows?
Come in town, learn a thing or two about sketch comedy. And then finally, on the 17th, our live public access showing. So if you're a public access fan, make your way down to the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club and check us out. Also, we'd like to thank all of our listeners. We've become a family. So a little bit of a somber note. We'd like to give our condolences to the Aguilar family. Our avid listener, Andrew Aguilar's mom. This show is dedicated to her memory, Rebecca. You were at our 100th episode, and I just want to mention you and how much we appreciate you and your support on our 4th anniversary.
Absolutely.
So, again, guys, like Jess said,